to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Castrol Edge, the official motor oil sponsor of the NFL, knows you have the strength to perform. So when you buy a Castrol GTX conventional oil change special for $20.99 or a Castrol Edge oil change special at Advance Auto Parts, you'll get an official NFL hat for the team of your choice free by mail. At Advance, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle by bringing you exclusive deals that will flip your lid. Service is our best part. See store for details.
Sony has talked about it, and so has Hitachi. Now Panasonic is warning losses from its TV business will mean losses for the year, and Panasonic is talking big losses. It looks to post a $10 billion beating as it faces fierce pricing competition for TV sales, and with pressure from the strong yen cutting into its bottom line, the struggles have raised questions about the decision to acquire Sanyo Electric. The delay of the Max Payne 3 video game has hurt Take-Two Interactive Software, so the company says it looks for a much worse than expected loss in the current quarter. That is despite strong sales of its older games. And Wall Street traders are holding their breath this morning, crossing their fingers as we wait for the release of the January jobs report. Expectations are for as many as 150,000 new jobs to have been created, but that would be a slowdown from the 200,000 seen in December. The unemployment rate seems steady at 8.5%. And stock futures are a little higher, S&P gaining 3 points, NASDAQ up 9, Dow higher by 24. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
I'm talking with Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. How would you define the quality of the scanner?
The temporal scanner is the only thermometer that has been rigorously tested by thousands of hospitals with more than 40 peer-reviewed published studies attesting to its accuracy.
What about the value of the product?
The peace of mind from knowing that your family's health is well protected is priceless.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner, changing the way the world takes temperature, available at Walgreens and other fine retailers.
The Home Depot has made a lighting upgrade to the whole showroom. You don't often hear the words unique and affordable in the same sentence about lighting, but that describes our exclusive new home decorators collection beautifully, with showroom quality lighting starting as low as $39.97. If it's time to update your lighting, come see what we've done with ours. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. I need to turn the volume down on my headphones a little bit. Wow. What did I do to myself? Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, man. How could that be bad, right? It is Friday. Anyway, let's do it the right way. Friday, February 3rd, 2012. Yeah, that's an order. Check off that. Is it a Booyah Friday? It is a Booyah Friday, so get the button ready, Anthony. At some point, we're going to be booyahing our way through this program. Super Bowl weekend, we'll talk about that, get predictions on the Super Bowl game, and get to a lot of other good stuff. By the way, I promised yesterday, and Anthony, thank you for reminding me, that I would take a picture of the flowers that we got from Pro Flowers. It's on the Facebook page. You tell me if those look like 10-day-old flowers to you. I'm pretty impressed. Okay, anyway, we've got a lot to get to today. Lee Maddox will be joining us. Lee is a retired police captain, I believe. I'll check that but I believe she's a retired police captain with an organization that basically a bunch of retired police officers that are against prohibition with regard to marijuana. And so we'll talk to her, as there's now a huge initiative here in the state of Michigan to legalize both the commercial and recreational use of marijuana. See what this group has to say. And John Reel will also join us today. He is president of of AFSCME Local 207. You're going to see a lot of reports today that the mayor and the city and the unions have come to a tentative agreement which may save an emergency manager from being appointed. Where do the unions stand on this tentative agreement? Well, we'll find out from John Reel at 7:35. 7:50, of course, Occupy Detroit occupies for shift, and Joe DeSano will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour, and there's plenty on his mind. Actually, some really interesting stuff that he's going to get to today, so you're going to always want to stay tuned for that, and that means we're about an hour in. Looking at the clocks, 3 hours and about 7 minutes away from being served our breakfast during our staff meeting.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, our first word today has got to just be one thing, because it's it for a while. Football. Football. It goes away after Sunday. Football. I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's football. It's gone. This is that really weird time of the year for me, because after tomorrow's football game, I'm not a big, basketball fan. I'm a hockey fan, but, it's really about the playoffs. Oh, God. Baseball's good. Well, it's April, to be honest. You got spring training, but it's not the real deal. Our first word today. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be such a downer, but it's football. That's that. Good morning, Jeff. That's it.
Good morning.
Sunday's it.
I know. Isn't it great?
Yeah,
Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl.
Michigan State.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know. That's Sunday as well. That's in the afternoon, right?
Yes, sir, early.
2 o'clock, 1 o'clock?
It's probably 1 o'clock.
Okay. Well, two top 25 college basketball teams going at it. That's a good thing.
That is.
And then it's, the interstate rivalry. That's a good thing.
Just, I hope that Draymond Green can play. I know he injured himself in the loss to Illinois the other night, and it would just be less than if he doesn't play it's his last chance to play Michigan in a regular season game, especially at home. And if the knee injury sidelines him, it would just be a less than game for me.
Okay. Well, I hope that it's not a less than game for you. I guess here's what I'm weighing now, because I am such a wimp about getting up in the morning. I'm thinking, but I have to do this very strategically. I'm thinking I need to take a significant nap in the afternoon in order to watch the entire game. Because let's be honest about it, the game's not going to get over with until at least 10 o'clock. Right?
What time does it start? 8:30?
No, it starts at 6:30. But, you know, you're going to have your 25-minute halftime.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Plus, the game's not going to start at 6:20 like they say it will. So, you know, and then there are more commercial breaks during the Super Bowl for obvious reasons because it's a cash cow for them. And I get that. And then the commercials actually are actually a part of the experience. So I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. But I'm just saying, if I really want to stay up and watch the whole game, I need to get a substantial nap. I'm talking, you know, 2 solid hours of sleep. And I don't know that that's possible.
Speaking of which, I got a pretty good nap yesterday.
Well, that makes one of us.
Which is good, because I'll tell you what. Remember I said a while back that I had people upstairs above me were stomping around?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I asked you about that yesterday morning.
Yep, they're back.
Stomping around?
Oh, it's worse, though.
What the hell?
It's worse than just that, because, yes, at midnight they woke me up stomping around. At 2 o'clock they woke me up stomping around. And on top of this, I have since learned that apparently that they've just moved in, which I think has been a couple of weeks now, but they've moved in and have yet to buy a shower curtain. Now, why this is a problem is because they take showers with nothing there, and their entire bathroom floor gets flooded. And the caulk along their butt, the tub, is cracked. Thus, the ceiling is now caving in on my shower because the water is seeping down through. And it's ruining my shower. So I called the maintenance, and they came over and looked at it, and they went upstairs and discovered that, yes, they don't take a shower with a shower curtain, and their bathroom is flooded, and now they have a lot of work to do in my bathroom eventually, sometime this week, I guess. He's like, well, we'll get to it in the next week or so. Great. Well,
or so.
I'll just continue to take showers and hope that nothing's going to fall on my head when I'm in there.
I mean, does it look threatening in that way? I mean, be honest, does it look threatening?
There's cracks. There's this square, like it's a perfect square crack right above the shower head. When they take a shower now, it sounds like there's a shower going on in my bathroom because of how much it's dripping.
Yeah, that's beyond problematic. Yeah, they need to fix that, and they need to fix that. Obviously, they need to start with their apartment because that's where the origin of the problem begins.
Right.
And then they need to come in and replace the ceiling in your bathroom.
Well, and again, I don't mean to take us off on a weird tangent. It was just made me think about it because while I was napping, of course, is what woke me up from my nap was them showering, which is, you know, large droplets of water now hitting my tub. So,
okay, yeah. Somebody showering should not create enough noise to wake you up.
It's, the stomping around in the shower. I'm just, I'm wondering if I'm ever going to get to sleep.
How do you deal with that? Seriously, do you call
drugs?
Apartment management? How do you deal with it? Do you go up there and I don't want to say confront them, but talk to them?
I was thinking, do I walk up there? Or maybe I slip a note under their door, which sounds so cowardly, I think. Or knock on their door. Hey, sorry, but can you keep your stomping around at 2 o'clock in the morning to a minimum? I mean, or can
well,
you take
yeah.
your?
Yeah, no, I think that's a legitimate request. Come on.
Can you take your showers any other time than my nap time? No, that was a silly one.
No, but I'm saying, let's just be proactive. Between 10 p.m. and let's say 6 a.m. I'll extend it to 7, but. There's a certain protocol, don't you think? Just, you know, you live in an apartment complex, especially if you live in an upper floor. I mean, you know that if you're stomping around, that whoever lives below you is going to experience that. And you know that. You absolutely know that. And don't tell me you don't. So it becomes deliberate at some point. I'm not saying they're doing it just to piss you off, but they just don't care.
Right. They just don't have an understanding of. And I think, you know, that seems to be the thing about, you know, my apartment complex, and I'm part of it, is that maybe it's all apartment complexes, but we all have various schedules. I mean, when I'm leaving for work in the morning at, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, there's a lot of people coming back from work at that time. Or, you know, there's a couple of us leaving all at the same time. But it's a lot of varying schedules. People working third shift, second shift, all kinds.
Which is the whole point of, you know, of that unspoken protocol. I mean, there's certain hours of the day. Now, listen, you know, the reality is if you happen to work overnights and you're having this problem at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's kind of like, tough crap because it's the middle of the day. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that it happens, but you can't ask people in the middle of the day to, you know, to curtail the normal activity is the operative word there. Now, if somebody's being extraneously loud, like stomping around, that's a problem. I mean, that's a serious, that would be a serious problem no matter what time of the day it is, because it's absolutely going to impact you where you live. I guess if I were to move into an apartment complex, I'd always want to live in the top floor.
Well, then you'd always be carrying heavy furniture up three flights of stairs.
Yeah, you do it once. Or you hire somebody to do it. That's the other thing. This is crazy. It's crazy that you have to experience that.
Yeah, you know what? I like everything else about it, though. I really do. I've had a good experience my year there.
All right, we'll be back. Anthony and Jeff will give us their predictions on Super Bowl Sunday. We got a lot to get to this morning, so stay where you're at. This is First Shift. Ah, yes, it's Friday. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
And so, but am I ready for the next level? Let me tell you, I hope I am the Tim Tebow of the Iowa caucuses.
On 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes the problem in Monroe, I-75 northbound at Nedu. You can find a couple of lanes blocked because of a fuel spill cleanup from an earlier problem. We also have some new construction set up I-75 northbound near 12 Mile, taking out the two right lanes. Once traffic starts picking up, we may see some real slowdowns through there.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We may see a little bit of sun today. Our high near 46. Tonight, partly cloudy. A low near 27. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 39. Right now, we have a little bit of fog and mist at Metro Airport and 27 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
There are two laws currently in Congress that you need to know about. One of them is called the Protect IP Act, or PIPA, and the other one is the Stop Online Piracy Act, known as SOPA. They are companion bills. Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski at Wayne State Law School.
Under the Protect IP Act, here's what would happen if this bill becomes law. If a federal prosecutor alleges to a court that a foreign website facilitates copyright or trademark infringement. Now, that might mean as little as a site that provides a link to infringing material elsewhere on the internet. A court can then order an internet service provider to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing that website. It required no court approval, no oversight at all, no neutral evaluation of the merits of these claims. These both would be disastrous bills.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio.
radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yep, you're punched in 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Today's Facebook First Shift poll question of the day. By the way, Jeffrey, we're up to 919 likes on Facebook.
I saw that.
4 yesterday. This is getting good. I mean, it seems like every day this week we added anywhere between 3 and 5 people, which is great.
That's because we're mentioning it more often.
Well, maybe that's all it took. Anyway, our poll question of the day before we get into our Super Bowl predictions. Talk today is that the city of Detroit, the unions have come to an agreement on wages and benefits. Do you believe that this will be enough to keep Governor Snyder from appointing an emergency manager for Detroit? All you have to do is go to Facebook. In the search function, if you're not already a fan of First Shift, put in First Shift in the search function. Click the little magnifying glass thing there and go. It'll find it and go ahead and vote in the poll. All right. That's what we got going on. Okay. New England Patriots. By the way, did you get an email, Jeff, from Clear Channel that you were given squares and some kind of Clear Channel poll or contest?
No. In fact, me and Diane had a talk this morning about how I never check my Clear Channel email.
All right. Well, I did, and I thought it was a little odd that I did, and I didn't save it, so I don't have it on my iPad. But it was from some guy that said, "Yeah, you know, we've taken the liberty of throwing you into a Clear Channel contest, and your numbers are this and this, and after each quarter, if that's what it is, then you would win a $100 gift card from a retailer.
Go First Shift.
Yeah, but I don't believe it. I don't trust it. Why would this randomly just appear in my inbox?
Right.
Anyway, just wondered if you got one, but maybe you should check your Clear Channel email. I'm just saying.
It's been 3 years.
Really?
Something like that.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, we certainly don't want to go there. All right, anyway, big game, New England Patriots, New York Giants. Certainly the predictions are this will be the most watched Super Bowl in the history of the Super Bowl. Will it be? That's really not the point. The point is, who will win this game? Who would have thought, Anthony and Jeff, for all intents and purposes, that the New York Giants would even be in this game? Of course, we go back to the end of the season where the conversation in Detroit, anyway, was let the Lions win so that they can play the New York Giants. They're the easier team to beat. Well, now we find them in the Super Bowl. I still think they would have been the easier team to beat, by the way. Anthony, I turn to you, good son, and say, on Sunday at 6:20, when they kick that football off, who do you believe will be the victor ultimately at the end of that game?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. You want to give me a spread or pretty
yeah,
much just...
I'll go Patriots by 10. I'll go 31-21.
Wow.
It's never really that close. The Patriots have a 10-point lead the whole second half, and that's that.
Do you believe there's a revenge factor, you know, all these years later?
No.
No, I don't think so either. I don't believe so either. Do you want to give me a I'll go one step further. Do you want to give me an MVP for the game?
Yeah, Tom Brady's.
Tom Brady.
That'd be his third MVP, I believe, and that'd tie him with Joe Montana for most all time.
Yeah, by the way, his wife sent an email out to all of their friends and family and asking them to pray for Tom for a good outcome on Sunday, that he's a good man and he deserves to be happy on Sunday. Wasn't that sweet of her?
How nice.
Yeah, I could tell you were moved. All right, Jeffrey Radford, we now turn our attention to you and your prognosticating skills. Sir, on Sunday, there will be a battle. Who will be victorious?
Oh, it's definitely the Patriots. I know a lot of people love to pick the Giants, and they think that somehow this is exactly like the run they had on last time, but these are, like you were saying, different teams.
Yeah, very different teams. Too many years apart. In fact, I was even surprised to learn there are only 7 Patriots on this team that was on that same team. What was it? 4 years ago?
Yeah, back when Randy Moss was the leading receiver. I mean, there's a lot of changes. In fact, New England's completely changed their offense around. They now focus on their two main tight ends.
Right.
That's I mean, there is Wes Welker and there's the other guys, but the two tight end set, which I think is innovative. And I think that's why, if you're going to ask me about an MVP.
Of course I was, but I wanted to bet before you go there. Did you want to give me a score, or are you just going to go straight up Patriots?
What's my normal one? 24-21 Patriots, and we'll go with that.
Okay.
And Rob Gronkowski is going to be my dark horse MVP, a tight end.
All right. Wasn't he injured coming into this game?
Yeah, they're still iffy on whether he'll play or not, but give me a break. It's the Super Bowl.
Of course he's going to play. In fact, on Monday, they're going to give him the day off, and he doesn't even have to work for a while after that.
Right, yeah. He's earned it.
He definitely has earned it. Well, it should be fun. I will have to agree that the Patriots win. I think I'm going to I think the 10-point spread that you both have given me works as well. I don't know. I just think it's going to be a fun day for football. I don't think Eli Manning, I think his luck has run out, and I think that there's been some luck. And, hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with luck, Jeff. Got them to where they're at. To think that this is all about skill is ridiculous, because it's not. I'm happy for Tom Coughlin because it saved his job for him and probably for some other people. But that's it. So we'll of course, come back and let you know how we all did. Well, you'll probably know how we all did on Monday.
So weird that, you know, that, and you're right, but so weird that it saves Coughlin's job. He's a guy who won the Super Bowl not too long ago, and people are already getting, to the point where they're like, oh, maybe we don't need him anymore.
Well, I mean, and there was serious talk that unless they put a little winning streak together at the end of the season, that he was going to be out of a job, and now he's got them on the, you know, knocking on the door to a championship. And, hey, listen, although we're all calling the Patriots, and it should be the Patriots, there's every reality could be that on Monday morning the Giants are again the world champions. As crazy as that sounds, it very well could happen. So, you know, that's why you play the games. That's the end of the story. By the way, you know, I made that point, and Anthony, I'm gonna invite you back into the conversation. You know, I'd made the point that, you know, there was a conversation just a month ago that, you know, geez, it would be great if the Lions, you know, would play the Giants because they would, you know, the chances are better that they would have beat them. And I believe that that was true. Do you still believe that, Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, they played one really great game against the Packers. And, I mean, they played a sloppy game against San Francisco. San Francisco was just more sloppy. I mean, they got the turnovers, that one late in the game, the fumble. I mean, I still think the Lions would have beat the New York Giants.
How about you, Jeff? You feel the same way?
About the 49ers?
No. Were you not listening to this conversation? Do you think that the Lions...
No, I zoned out.
Did you? All right. Do you think that the Lions would have had a better chance to beat the New York Giants than the New England... or than the New Orleans Saints?
I still think that it wouldn't have mattered either way. Maybe a slightly better chance, but I think they still lose to either team.
All right. Well, you go back to your nap, and we're going to take a break. And we'll come back. We've got a lot of audio to get to, and we'll get to that in this hour. Of course, you're always welcome to join us. If you would like to make a Super Bowl prediction, feel free to do that. Also want to throw this one out there. I was talking to the guys before the show. If there's one snack you have to have for the Super Bowl, I mean, absolutely have to have it, what would it be? 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter. We'll take the break. Thanks for punching in with First Shift. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes the fact that it's Friday morning. We're going to have a little bit of lighter than normal traffic, but still some surprises. Our new construction on 75 North near 12 Mile, a couple of lanes blocked there. We may be seeing the slowdowns before too long for those heading north of 696. Also, those heading north from Ohio, though, 75 North near Nedu Road. A couple of lanes are still blocked from a fuel spill earlier from an accident.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We may see a little bit of sun today. Our high near 46. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 27. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 39. Right now, we have a little bit of fog and mist at Metro Airport and 27 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Here's a case of good news oozing out of bad news, and vice versa. The bad news is that Hostess Brands has sunk into bankruptcy. It couldn't stay afloat with the $860 million debt piled onto it when a group of Wall Street speculators took over the 82-year-old company. The good news, though, is that devoted customers can still get their daily fix of five kinds of sugar, partially hydrogenated oil, polysorbate 60, artificial flavors, and yellow dye number 5. Those are a few of the ingredients in Hostess Twinkies. When top executives filed for Chapter 11 in January, they assured an anxious nation that the corporation would keep chugging out Twinkies, Ho-Hos, Ding-Dongs, and its other caloric delights while they deal with a few legal details to restructure Hostess. Oh, goody! But wait, those details constitute the bad news flowing out of the good news. The CEO says that to become, quote, a highly competitive company that provides secure employment for our employees, Hostess must make those employees less secure by busting their pensions, cutting their medical benefits, and abrogating their labor contracts. Does this Twinkie-in-Chief even understand how twisted his logic is? Apparently not, for he also asserts that one of the, quote, tremendous inherent strengths that Hostess can build on to become a viable company is a talented and experienced workforce. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks for the compliment, Chief, but I'm guessing your workforce would prefer a decent pension. Without that, your words are as empty as the calories in a ding-dong. Meanwhile, the union workers who literally deliver the goods for the company point out that they've already made concessions, and it's time for the richly paid corporate executives and profiteering speculators who loaded Hostess with all that debt to stop sucking all the cream out of the Twinkies.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Friday, the 3rd of February, 2012. It is a Booyah Friday. Happy to be with you. I'm getting some emails in. My buddy Patrick said Doritos because his dog likes to lick his fingers when he's done eating them. Somebody else wrote that they make this dip that sounds more like a meal. It's actually called a hot wing dip, and all of the ingredients are what you would, you know, basically make for hot wings with, you know, dipping sauce. I might try to make that. I might actually try to make that. I'm definitely, by the way, making spinach artichoke dip and get the pita chips out, and it's just really good stuff. So I'm definitely going to do that. And then subs, it's probably going to just be my wife and I, depending on what Anthony and my oldest son do, but, well, whatever. We'll make it work. Yesterday, as I was watching C-SPAN, yes, I watch C-SPAN. Not all the time, but every now and then I watch C-SPAN. Just so happens that Congressman Gary Peters from the 9th Congressional District was on. And he was talking about something that is critical to all of us in voting. And they're about to vote on some legislation that does affect all of us. That legislation, of course, is the sunsetting of George Bush tax cuts. Gary Peters was making a very passionate appeal and had been talking about historically what's happened over the last decade and why it's important that we understand that. Well, this is part of the exchange, and then there's a Republican response, and then the congressman comes back. It's a fascinating exchange. I wanted to share it with you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Georgia seek recognition?
Mr. Chairman, I claim time in opposition.
The gentleman's recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a little amusing, I guess, that our colleagues on the other side love to talk about the past. I'm not sure whether it's a desire for fantasy or misery, but talking about the past is interesting. But this amendment has absolutely nothing to do with the legislation that's being considered. We don't need to rehash the economic record of the last 10 years. We need to look forward. And that's what this bill does. It's a forward-looking piece of legislation. And looking forward, as the CBO reported on Tuesday, is that if tax relief is allowed to expire at the end of this year, which seems to be what my colleagues on the other side are advocating, we would then have the largest tax increase in the history of our country. CBO says that economic growth will be as much as 3% lower than it would be if that tax relief were extended. So what we need is dynamic, appropriate scoring, more information, more data, for our colleagues to be able to have that kind of information so when they make decisions, they'll make, again, hopefully, wiser decisions. This amendment truly makes no improvement whatsoever to our process, our budget process, and I urge its defeat and yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from Michigan is recognized.
Mr. Chairman, well, it's, I find it interesting that the speaker from the other side believes that this is fantasy. This is facts, and he believes that facts should not be part of the debate, which is probably why we are in the trouble that we are in right now, when the majority party believes that opinions should not be weighed down by the facts of the situation. What I am offering in this statement is simply factual statements that don't detract in any way from this intended impact of this legislation. But it's certainly important to having a full and honest debate that we need to have an understanding of what happened in the past. If we do not have that understanding of the past, if we don't step up to the reality of what actually occurred as a result of missteps in public policy in the past, we will repeat them once again. What I'm hearing from the majority party is that they want to repeat the mistakes of the past, mistakes that led to uncontrollable deficits, and also mistakes that gave huge windfalls to the wealthiest people in this country at the expense of middle-class taxpayers. As a Democrat, we are very proud to stand up for middle-class families and want to make sure that tax benefits to middle-class taxpayers continue to go to those families that are struggling each and every day. On the other hand, those, the wealthiest among us, those with the highest incomes that have reaped the most benefit, should be paying their fair share, and by having tax cuts, what we will do is cut into those middle-class families. This is a factual statement. If we do not recognize the reality of the facts, we are doomed.
Well, imagine that, the reality of the facts. Again, that exchange for all intents and purposes was pretty damn significant. And I want to thank Congressman Gary Peters for standing up to his colleague from Georgia, who just delusionally doesn't believe the facts should get in the way of, I don't know, a good story. Well, just kind of odd that would happen. And then he says, what I found interesting, he says, well, you know, what the gentleman from Michigan was talking about has nothing to do with the legislation. It had everything to do with the legislation. Of course it did. Thank you, C-SPAN, for the use of that audio. Senator W. Stabenow, up for re-election this year, as most of you know. Has sponsored, co-sponsored some legislation that actually, on an issue that Jeff had brought to my attention. 60 Minutes, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago, Jeff, did a story on members of Congress getting awfully wealthy by having insider information. And then they go out and they buy stocks based on that insider information. Senator W. Stabenow, again, is co-sponsoring legislation that would ban this practice. This is what she had to say yesterday.
Mr. President, there should not be any question that members of Congress should be held accountable to the same laws that every other American are held to. And that's why in November, Senator Gillibrand, Senator Tester, and I introduced the Stock Act to prohibit members of Congress from engaging in insider trading. This bill is common sense. The American people deserve to know that their representatives in Congress are doing what's right for the country, not trying to strike it rich by trading on insider information. My constituents are certainly wondering why this isn't law already, and that's a good question.
It is a good question, isn't it? I mean, it is. Why is it not law already? It kind of reminds me of the conversation we had with Congressman Gary Peters yesterday about his proposed legislation to mandate that corporations have to define where their employees are, just where they physically are located. Seems to me to be common sense. By the way, Jeff, that vote in the Senate the night before last to move this bill for consideration passed by the vote of 93-7. So that's good news. That's very good news. And this is one of those things, folks, where I would hope it's nonpartisan for you. Members of Congress should not benefit financially from what is clearly insider information. And you know, a lot of this stuff happens behind closed doors, so they're getting information that's not even part of the public dialogue, of course. That's the whole point. And as we have discussed and delineated on this show more than once, members of Congress may go in to their seat and serving their time in Congress with very modest means and come out very wealthy. And how does that happen? Yes, they make a handsome living, but they don't make the kind of living that turns them into millionaires. All of a sudden, they're just getting really good investment advice? I think not. So congratulations to Senator Debbie Stabenow for her success with this legislation. Unfortunately, her colleagues in the House of Representatives do not see this legislation as her colleagues in the Senate do. So what happens when it comes to the House is, well, it's actually fairly predictable, but we'll hold a good thought on that. This should be, again, common sense legislation. They should not be, they really should not be benefiting from insider information. Anybody here yesterday, the big news, Donald Trump, I guess it's big news. If you're Mitt Romney, it's big news. If you're not, it's probably not. Donald Trump endorsed Mitt Romney yesterday, which kind of is a surprise because we had announced in the morning, if you were listening, and then the reports we had is that Donald Trump would be endorsing Newt Gingrich. Don't really care, and I'm sure I could go out and research and find out why that happened. I don't really care. So I'm just being honest with you. I just don't care. Doesn't matter, you know, and I told you this on the show earlier this week, endorsements don't vote. I don't think Donald Trump's endorsement of Mitt Romney does anything for anybody. So, you know, Mitt Romney seemed to be happy, but whatever. Well, we'll get to some of the audio on the other side of the break. Two things I want to do, by the way, on the other side of the break. The Susan G. Komen story, which is getting bigger by the day. It's something we're going to talk about. And then I truly want to get into this, to clean up this Mitt Romney talking about the very poor and how he's not focused on the very rich and the very poor and the way he's trying to save himself there. And again, I said yesterday that I was kind of giving him a little bit of a pass because He said that there's a safety net there, and if it has holes, that, you know, we'd fix it. But he goes on to enumerate later on in that same interview where he was just bloviating on and on and on about focusing on the middle class, the middle class, the middle class, and it's a tough save. Although he apologized and he says he regret it, he was so invested in that message that day. I'm not going to play it again, but it's not hard to find it. He was very invested in that message. Kind of hard to walk away from something like that. It really is. 888-552-3595. A quick break here. First Shift will continue. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Yeah, and come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's go to Rachel Maddow. She does an amazing job of reporting the truth.
My personal nomination for the single most radical thing implemented by any Republican legislature and governor is what happened in Michigan. It's Michigan's expanded emergency financial manager law. It allows Rick Snyder, the state's Republican governor, to essentially, effectively, abolish all local voting rights. Congratulations, Michigan.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
Punching back in 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. Got an exciting hour in the next hour. We got a lot of stuff to do before then. Susan G. Komen founder Nancy Brinker was on MSNBC last night. This story is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the way, First Shift is going to invest in this story. We are going to partner with Planned Parenthood locally, and I'll be making an announcement on that soon. Soon. I'm meeting with them next week, and you'll get it all as we got it ready for you. Anyway, this is what Nancy Brinker had to say on MSNBC.
All I can tell you is that the responses we're getting are very, very favorable. People who have bothered to read the material, who have bothered to understand the issues. Again, we work for mission every day of our lives. And our job now is to translate cancer therapy into usable types of therapies that can be accessible for people.
Aren't the most vulnerable women going to be affected by this? Planned Parenthood.
We are not giving less money in the communities where we're giving money. Let me just set the record straight. Where we are giving money in these communities, we are not taking it back. We will, with some of them, go to direct service providers. But we still have the ends in place with Planned Parenthood in places where there aren't direct service providers, and they are good grants, and they work with us. But unless we have a way, again, to measure grants, to create metrics, outcomes, in ways that we can say, this works in this community with this vulnerable population. This is what will work. These are the barriers. This is how it works.
It's just all very convenient spin. With all due respect to Nancy Brinker and the Susan G. Komen Foundation, it's a very convenient spin. They have hired a very, very conservative CEO, who was a former candidate for governorship of a southern state, who is very anti-Planned Parenthood. We need to, you know, again, I want to make the point that the work that Planned Parenthood does mostly services the poor and the needy. And to take funding away from the poor and the needy at a time when so many are doing that, based on the premise that there's an investigation, when there's no basis or foundation for the investigation, is just ridiculous. Keeping in mind that I'm not trying to hide anything, and in full disclosure, less than 3% of the work that Planned Parenthood does is abortion related. I understand that, you know, for some people, one abortion is one too many, and I totally get that. But that shouldn't outweigh the great work, no matter how you feel, that Planned Parenthood does in making sure that women all over the country are getting critical breast cancer and cervical cancer screenings that on an annual basis catch so many cancers early, giving women a chance to live full and productive lives, that we would threaten or take money away from that. It's so counterintuitive to everything that I certainly believe in. This is, again, a story that we will continue to follow. Very quickly, a couple quick things before we get out of here. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, couldn't let the Mitt Romney, Donald Trump political marriage, go without a little bit of comment. This is what she had to say.
Well, I mean, it really wouldn't be surprising if Donald Trump endorses Mitt Romney, because they both like firing people, and they've both made millions doing it. So that wouldn't be surprising, but... You know, I mean, Donald Trump is such a cartoon character. An endorsement, no matter who he chooses, is like Bugs Bunny endorsing, saying which candidate for president that he supports. So it's really kind of a non-news event.
You know, she obviously said this before they made the announcement with the endorsement. Jeff, at some level, don't you agree with her that he is a cartoon and therefore... you know, his endorsement really has, it doesn't carry any weight, does it? I mean, even if he were a Democrat and he were endorsing Barack Obama, I don't know that I would want it. I certainly don't know that I would show up at an event celebrating it, because it just seems so odd.
Well, it's incredibly odd. And in the video, I mean, even Mitt doesn't want to be there getting the endorsement. It was done at one of Trump's hotels, and he used it as a commercial for his hotel. This is also the same guy, Mitt Romney, who declined to be part of the debate.
The Iowa debate, right.
And Trump didn't like that at all. And all of a sudden now, you know, he's using it as a publicity stunt. And it's funny because it's not just Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I mean, here, this is Shep Smith from Fox News kind of making fun, poking fun of it as well.
Hempson prostitutes for Ron Paul. Donald Trump for Mitt Romney.
Yes.
We still don't know about Shakira and Big Bird, but we'll learn in the next hour.
Isn't it great being in this business?
It's the weirdest election I've ever lived through.
It is weird. I mean, it is absolutely weird. Again, I said this yesterday. Endorsements don't get you votes. They really don't. And so the people go out and get them. You know, keeping in mind, and this is not a comment on Mitt Romney's religion. He is a Mormon. They don't gamble, Jeff. They don't go to casinos. And, you know, where's Mitt Romney yesterday? Inside a casino, taking Donald Trump's endorsement. He looked, physically, he looked incredibly uncomfortable just being in that building, didn't he?
Right, and I wonder that if he even participates in this at all, if he doesn't have to have some kind of distraction away from his poor comment.
Well, this is what he had to say, by the way, yesterday in regard to trying to retract that poor comment.
I misspoke. I wish I wouldn't have said it that way. I made the same thought part of my speeches over the last year or two, which is that I'm really concerned about middle-income Americans. I want to help middle-income Americans. I want to get people out of poverty into the middle-income category. But, of course, I'm concerned and worried about all Americans. And I want to make sure our safety net is appropriately able to care for our poor. I'm concerned about all citizens. But now and then, you misspeak. You have to acknowledge it. It was something I did not intend to say in the way it was said, but I recognize that's part of the political process.
All right. I recognize it's part of the political process. What? Making mistakes? It is part of the political process. You know, I get emails, Jeff, as you know, from people that don't like me and don't like Democrats and don't like the president. And they love to, and they will, again, they'll send them to me today, you know, the gaffes that the president makes. The verbal gaffes, and they all do it, and we've had this conversation on the show before. They all make these verbal gaffes, but there's a difference between, you know, misstating a name of something and totally, you know, stepping in a pile of cow dung like Mitt Romney did. There's a total difference. Of course, these folks can't separate that. They just can't separate it. And I get why they can't, because it's all they have to hold on to is a misspoken word. So they're going to hold on to that as desperately as they possibly can. And it is desperate. It's kind of sad that you folks do that. It makes me chuckle. It actually gives me reason to stop and pray for you sometimes, because this is sad that you guys hold on to a word so bad. What we're talking about here fundamentally is Mitt Romney saying, I literally don't care about a group of people that need the attention as much as, if not more than anybody else in this country, and saying that the safety net will take care of them. And by the way, Mitt Romney, while he's saying that, Newt Gingrich is turning around and making things, in fact, even worse by saying, you know, we don't need to create a safety net, we need to create a trampoline. What the hell does that mean? So while the Republicans talk about change, Democrats actually create change. Now, if Republicans would just get out of our way, we'd actually be able to create dynamic change. All right, we got a lot to get to in the next hour. You're going to want to stay with us. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano. Much more to get to when First Shift continues after this.
Team 10 WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update. Still have that problem in the Monroe area, 75 northbound near Nadu or Nedu. You're going to find the right lane is blocked by a fuel spill cleanup from an earlier accident. We have our new construction, 75 north near 12 mile, taking out the two right lanes. We are seeing some delays. Not quite as bad, though, because it is Friday morning and lighter than normal traffic. I'm Diane Cross, traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We may see a little bit of sun today. Our high near 46. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 27. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 39. Right now, we have a little bit of fog and mist at Metro Airport and 27 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news, the Obama administration is letting it be known that Defense Secretary Leon Panetta believes it is likely that Israel may try to attack Iran sometime in the spring over its nuclear development. CNN's Barbara Starr says it's a sensitive subject for the U.S., but it's not an accident that Panetta's assessment is going public now.
There's no question that he let it become public that these were his views right now, that Israel might attack in the next couple of months. That ratchets up the rhetoric. That paints an awful lot of the players into a potential corner.
Retired Army Brigadier General David Grange thinks Israel is looking for an opening.
If they believe that Iran has the ranges, and they do,
Shahab-type missiles and that to be fired in Israel, you have to look at the Israeli perspective on preempting that to happen. And so they're very concerned about this.
Denver is bracing for up to 2 feet of snow. Schools are closed. Airline flights canceled. Forecasters say all this stuff could fall between now and sometime tomorrow. If you were not happy with Mitt Romney for saying he was not concerned about the very poor in a CNN interview, then Mitt Romney agrees with you. He tells CNN affiliate KSNV that his focus is still on the middle class, but he admits his wording in that interview was a mistake.
If people are going to go after me when I make a mistake, when I slip up in a word I say, even though I say I got it wrong, sorry, that's not what I meant, why, you know, that's going to be part of the political process. I understand it.
Susan G. Komen for the Cure Foundation, one of the best-known charities to fight breast cancer, is withdrawing support for Planned Parenthood after major criticism from anti-abortion groups. And now Planned Parenthood supporters are heaping their own criticism on the Komen Foundation. Laura Sessions Stepp, a writer who supports Planned Parenthood, says Komen probably did not realize the minefield it was stepping into.
Obviously, they didn't anticipate the blowback. They had no idea of the kind of support that's out there in the country for breast screening, particularly for poor and underserved areas.
This is CNN Radio.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brings me to a shopping mall. Of course, when it comes to shopping for car insurance, most people go to Geico. I mean, with all the discounts they offer, why would you shop anywhere else? There are discounts for complete and defensive driving courses, multi-policy discounts, and discounts for being accident-free. You know, this mall is a real maze. I think I passed that candle store about 5 times.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
My game plan for big game entertaining? Sam's Club.
Member Casey Harrison.
We save on all the snacks, all the drinks, even a sharp 60-inch LED TV. So on game day, the best seats in the house are gonna be in my house.
Not a member? Start your new Sam's Club Plus membership now through February 5th and score extra points with a $20 gift card. Then make saving part of your game plan all year long.
Great prices, great selection, great party. In my book, that's a win-win-win.
Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Wall Street is counting down to the release of the January jobs report due an hour before the opening bell on Wall Street. The hope is the expectation of 150,000 new jobs can be met or even topped, and that the unemployment rate will not rise from the current 8.5%. Strategists at FX Pro say that having been the main disappointment for most of the U.S. recovery, the jobs numbers have mostly surprised to the upside in recent months, with 5 of the past 6 releases coming out stronger than expected on the headline number. Ahead of it, S&P stock futures gaining 2 points, NASDAQ up 7, Dow rising 18. In addition to the jobs report, after the opening bell, we get a look at the health of the giant services sector and factory orders. Panasonic is about to set a record, but not a good one. The company is forecasting a loss for the past year of $10 billion, joining rivals like Sony and Sharp struggling with floundering TV sales. Oil prices up a quarter, $96.57 a barrel. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Castrol Edge, the official motor oil sponsor of the NFL, knows you have the strength to perform. So when you buy a Castrol GTX conventional oil change special for $20.99 or a Castrol Edge oil change special at Advanced Auto Parts, you'll get an official NFL hat for the team of your choice free by mail. At Advance, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle by bringing you exclusive deals that will flip your lid. Service is our best part. See store for details.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. In fact, 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday, February 3rd, 2012, a lot to do in this hour. I will tell you that, especially in this first segment, there's going to be a lot of controversy. And as we had Matt Abel on the show a week ago, talking about legalizing both the recreational and the commercial use of marijuana in the state of Michigan, one of the things that we also need to talk about is corralling a group of people that will support efforts like that. One of those groups that you would, of course, feel would be opposed would be law enforcement. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. But let me ask you a simple question. If you are opposed to legalizing marijuana, do you know why you're opposed? And I ask that question because I think it's just one of those things that's ingrained in our culture, that it's illegal drugs are illegal drugs, and therefore we need to oppose them. But beyond that, and that's not a bad rationale, and I'm not discouraging you from that rationale. I'm saying you need to now empower yourself with some information. And so I hope that this next segment does just that. Let me first talk a little bit about the group that my next guest is here about, and then I'll introduce you to her. LEAP is the name of the group. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. They are a nonprofit organization. And we'll get a link to their website up on the Facebook page. It's copssaylegalizeddrugs.com. They're formed by cops, judges, and others in the criminal justice system who believe that the war on drugs has been an expensive failure that has only made our nation's tragic drug problems worse. After devoting their careers to being frontline warriors in the war on drugs, the members of LEAP have come to believe that the only way to reduce drug abuse and the many harms associated with the current approach to the problem is by legalizing and regulating illicit drugs. Well, joining me now to talk about that is Lee Maddox. Lee is a retired captain from the Maryland State Police back in 2007. You know, I've got a picture of Lee, and I can't imagine that she was more than 25 years old in 2007. But with that said, let me go on. She's participated in the war on drugs from many different angles. And in the 1990s, she worked as a patrol trooper and supervisor serving in the intelligence division, including a long-term undercover assignment in which she infiltrated the KKK and worked as a criminal investigator. Her career is stellar. Certainly, if there's anybody that understands the problem of this war on drugs, it would be Lee Maddox, and Captain Maddox joins us this morning. Lee, it's a pleasure to have you on for a shift.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you for having me.
And, you know, let me ask you to just assess my statement that, you know, so many people are opposed to legalizing marijuana, but do they really know why they're opposed to it, Lee?
No, I don't think they do, and I think that your sense that it's kind of just embedded in our culture to automatically oppose it is a true thing. And if one really sits down and does an evidence-based look at marijuana and the impact that it has on society overall, we would come to the conclusion that our policies are actually very ridiculous.
Of course, I'm going to agree with you. Now, I don't know if you're aware that there is an initiative that just started here in the state of Michigan to legalize both the recreational and the commercial use of marijuana and or hemp. So I'll throw that in there. We can talk about, and there was some recent polling that was done, Lee, statewide that says that, you know, we're probably not quite ready for that. But with that said, and with the proper education, Lee, I happen to personally think that people would start to listen to doing that, to leaning in that direction, if the law enforcement community were to be a little more honest about this war on drugs. So let me just throw it back to you with my saying that.
Absolutely. We've been waging this war on drugs, if you will, for over 20 years, over 40 years rather, and we haven't reduced addiction rates. We lead the world in our incarceration of people, and it's doing nothing but bringing people down, and needs to change.
Well, you know, I stop and think about, and I'll keep it local. But I'm sure that we'd be able to find local numbers. But it's not about the numbers to me; it's about the reality. How many people are incarcerated, Lee Maddox, for marijuana possession or marijuana use that take up valuable resources, that take up valuable space, that really take up valuable, and when I say resources, not beyond just money. And not to mention the money that's involved in doing that. And you stop it and you wonder, you know, there was a time where it was just very scary to think, oh, my God, it's reefer. You know, we're a little more advanced now. We understand this game a little bit better. Certainly there's enough science out there for us to have a different conversation. But as a law enforcement, and you were on the streets, this is something that you and your staff dealt with on a daily basis. When you pull somebody over and they have three marijuana joints in their car, is that really, I mean, is this really where your resources need to be focused on, Lee?
Absolutely not. Our resources should be focused on violent crimes and felonies, rape, robbery, murder. But, you know, law enforcers are people like everyone else, and sometimes it's easier to go after the low-hanging fruit. And unfortunately, that's what we've done for decades and decades and decades. And it's backfired on us. It's backfired and caused a fracture between police and the communities that we serve. And it's time to step back and say enough is enough and focus our resources where they need to be focused. And that is not on locking people up for possession of marijuana.
Well, yeah, as we reach out to people today, let me make this simple. Talk to this audience, even though I have a very liberal leaning audience. Not everybody is in favor of legalizing, whether it's for recreational or commercial use, marijuana and or hemp. Explain to this audience why it's time we start looking at this differently and maybe leaning in the direction of legalization.
Sure. Well, you only need to look back as far as the 1920s and see what we did with alcohol. We tried to prohibit it. We did prohibit it. And what did we do? We caused alcohol to become more craved by people. We caused the purity levels to go up. People wanted a bigger bang for their buck. And we saw the crime and the mob empowered by the illicit trade. And we're seeing exactly the same thing through our current prohibitionist policies, many of which, quite frankly, are based in racial politics with regard to marijuana and all the other illicit drugs currently being that we trap. You tell people they can't do something, and what do? They want to go out and do it. The answer is not to throw people in jail. The answer is to go to a health-based approach, treat addiction when it should be treated, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
In your estimation, and again, you've as a retired law enforcement professional, Lee, is this something, legalizing marijuana, is this something that can't effectively be regulated for distribution and use in a way that perhaps alcohol currently is? Is this something that we can actually do?
Yes, I do. I think if you want to look at a drug that we've actually done good with, I would look at tobacco. By using time, place, and manner restrictions coupled with an effective education and prevention campaign, we've reduced the use of tobacco in this country across all socioeconomic lines by approximately 40%, depending on which studies you look at. We can do the same thing with marijuana. Alcohol, you know, we haven't done so good with our advertising regs with alcohol. Anytime I can turn on a football game and it's basically sponsored by Anheuser-Busch and Coors Light, I think it's, you know, it's a little bit troublesome. So we would need to be careful with marijuana. We would need to make sure the time, place, and manner restrictions are in place in a way that's not offensive to the communities that people are using marijuana in. And we need to make sure that it's not being marketed and advertised towards our children. If we do those things, I think marijuana is not a big deal. People need to get over it.
Okay, I like the way you put that, and of course, I agree. You know, I wouldn't expect you to know these numbers or have these numbers. But I would think that from an economic standpoint, both if Michigan were to be to repeal prohibition on marijuana, especially on the commercial end of it, that the economic benefits would be phenomenal for the state.
I think that's very true. I mean, one thing that we do know in law enforcement is that this country is quite capable of growing both marijuana and hemp. Our lands are quite fertile, and there's a lot of money to be made. We do not need to import this stuff from Mexico. We do not need to involve the Mexican drug cartels. It's something that we can manage and regulate here quite safely at home if we can just get over the notion that marijuana is somehow going to turn us into a bunch of lunatics.
Well, you know, again, Lee Maddox, I'd like to say that the likelihood of this happening in Michigan is better than not, but unfortunately, at least at this point, the polling numbers don't bear us out on that. With that said, we're very early on in the process, and I would imagine that there is going to be a lot of education efforts going on. I will say this: if people go to copssaylegalizedrugs.com, is a great resource and a great place for people to go to just get some general information. You actually can get a lot more than general information there, but it's a great place to get some foundational information. I want to recommend that you do that. Lee, I have a feeling that we're going to be touching base with you again as we work through this issue here in the state of Michigan. So thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tony, and I appreciate you bringing this issue to light for your listeners.
Nah, my pleasure. A quick break here. We'll come back. Lots to do on the other side of this. Some interesting emails, so you'll want to stay tuned for that as well. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. Stay punched in. Much more to do here on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. Fortunately, we've got lighter than normal traffic. Friday morning is always not quite as bad as a normal morning rush hour. So maybe that's why we actually are getting through 75 North at 12 Mile without any really huge delays, even though only the two left lanes are open. It is going to take you a little longer to get through there and a little longer to get through I-75 northbound near Nadu, or some pronounce it Nedu, where we have the right lane blocked by a fuel spill cleanup.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We may see a little bit of sun today. Our high near 46. Tonight partly cloudy, a low near 27. Tomorrow mostly sunny and a high near 39. Right now we have a little bit of fog and mist at Metro Airport and 27 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
There are two laws currently in Congress that you need to know about. One of them is called the Protect IP Act, or PIPA, and the other one is the Stop Online Piracy Act, known as SOPA. They are companion bills. Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski at Wayne State Law School.
Under the Protect IP Act, here's what would happen if this bill becomes law. If a federal prosecutor alleges to a court that a foreign website facilitates copyright or trademark infringement. Now, that might mean as little as a site that provides a link to infringing material elsewhere on the internet. A court can then order an internet service provider to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing that website. It required no court approval, no oversight at all, no neutral evaluation of the merits of these claims. These both would be disastrous bills.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Triano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Triano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Triano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Triano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, TRUPIANO. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after 7, I want to thank Jeff for posting to the Facebook page a video of the First Lady doing push-ups with Ellen. For some of us, well, that's what we need to get us through the rest of the morning. That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead and check it out.
I will say, though, I've had push-up contests with friends, and I think Ellen's form is pretty good. Michelle, or, you know, our First Lady, it doesn't go down all the way. Just saying.
I'm going to so leave that alone.
No, I know.
I'm so going to leave that
push-ups
alone.
I'm talking about
push-ups here. I'm going to go to the phones, 888-552. You're the one that said it. 888-552-3595. I welcome to the show my good friend Mike in Clawson. Mike, pleasure to have you back on the show this morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Tony. I've noted with interest your conversation with that interview you had regarding the drug laws and how stupid they've become. And one of the background things that we have to be aware of are private prisons. And they've had an unholy alliance with the anti-drug crowd. Because more people incarcerated means more money for them.
Oh, absolutely. Mike, you and I both know that if we were to legalize marijuana, which would probably get rid of 30, maybe 40% of the prison population, they'd lose a lot of money, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, that ought to be brought out. You know, people got to understand, connect the dots.
Yeah, no question that's true. I clearly... Smart stuff. You're right, Mike. Thank you so much for pointing that out. 888-552-3595. Jeff, you're getting some love on the Facebook page. That's absolutely happening. Christine Berry from Boggy from Michigan is listening, and she just is commenting on your thoughts. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Wait, where do I have to go to find these?
On Facebook. Just go to the Facebook page.
Oh, come on. I just saw it. It was a very small comment, but geez. I'm talking about push-ups here. Push-ups, people.
I'm just saying. Anyway, listen, I give the First Lady a lot of credit, so perhaps she doesn't have a perfect form instead of, you know, using Jeff's phraseology. Obviously, she knows what she's doing. She's quite strong, and she outlasted Ellen, more importantly.
She went to 25 and could have. I looked like I don't think she was slowing down at all. She just stopped because Ellen had stopped already.
Yeah, you know it's good stuff. I said this yesterday. I find the First Lady extremely attractive, and I realize that's so politically incorrect. But so what? She's a very beautiful woman, and why would you not comment on her physical beauty? She's a very beautiful woman. She takes extremely good care of herself, as does the president. He's a pretty, perfect specimen of a man himself. In fact, I don't know if you remember when he was first elected, right before they started, they took a little vacation. It was the first time that they had published a picture of him without a shirt on, Jeff. And there was this big controversy whether or not, we should see our president shirtless, which was just ridiculous because all it showed was that he was in really good shape. That's all it showed. We know he's very athletic. We know that he loves to play basketball. So what's wrong with showing off his attributes? Whatever. 888-552-3595. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What's on your mind, sir?
In terms of the comment that Mitt Romney made about the poor or the very poor.
Yeah.
I think it was Marie Antoinette who said, "Let them eat cake."
Absolutely.
And I mean, the bullet at Romney is, poor people vote also. And probably some of those same poor people who call themselves Republican may very well be turned off about, by his comment in terms of their financial state in life. I mean, nobody asked to be poor, okay? And, probably some, if not most of these folks, are in that situation, due to no fault of their own.
Well, that's really the point to be made here, Tom. The point to be made here, it's the Republican policies of George Bush and his ilk that put us in the situation we're in. How many of the poor were once middle class, but because of the George Bush lunacy ended up being part of the very poor? Lots, Tom, a whole lot.
Yeah, and like Bush said, my rich friends, we're gonna get richer and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just think that, sometimes, I think your brain needs to be in gear before your mouth starts running.
Well, you would think.
But some folks, they suffer from hoof and mouth disease or foot and mouth disease, I should say.
Well, Tom, it's real hard, and thank you for your call. It's real hard for somebody like Mitt Romney to walk away from that statement. And that really is the point I was making earlier, and so you bring it up again. It's really hard for him to walk away because of the adamancy, the immediacy as well of the message, and he kept on harping on it and harping on it and harping on it. Well, man, oh, man, you can't do that and then come back and say, I'm sorry I said it, and I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry I did. Well, not only did you, but it was deliberate, and it was protracted. And it was passionate. I mean, you were really beating that dead dog, dude. So I'm not going to let you get away with that. There's no question that is true. That's just crazy. Well, again, he's the one that's got to deal with what he says. Somebody sent me, and I'm going to bring this up. Here, let me just read this, and then I'll come in. It's, hey, Tony, I have a quick question. I'm sitting here watching the news and watching Matty Maroon trying to stay out of jail because he didn't finish his side of the Rams for the Bridge. His attorney is arguing that corporations are separate entities and cannot be jailed. How far does the Citizens United really work? I thought Citizens United basically said that corporations are people, so since the Bridge Corporation is a person, shouldn't they have to go to jail? Well, it's a great question, and I didn't have the answer, and I don't have the answer, but maybe this vast audience does. So here's the question that I have for all of you folks, maybe the smarter ones among you, because I don't know the answer to this. The argument that was made before the appeals court yesterday was that it was the corporation that didn't complete the work, not the individuals. So the corporation should be fined or whatever, should be punished, not the individuals. But Citizen United says, no, corporations are individuals. So is there a muddy line there? Is there a clean line there? Is there no line there? And if that's the case, then, yeah, they now, the Dan Stamper and Matty Maroon definitely need to go back to jail. It's a great question. I don't have the answer to it. I'm sorry, Kevin, I don't. But it's a great question, and you bring up a profoundly important point. If that's what they're arguing, if the attorneys are arguing that corporations are separate entities and therefore cannot be jailed, then that kind of flies in the face of what the Citizens United decision was all about. All right. It's out there. So if somebody knows the answer to that, feel free to send me an email. When we continue, and we are going to do that in just a moment, when we continue, John Reel will join us. He is the president of Ask Me Local 207. The news this morning is that tentative agreements have been reached with most of the Detroit, the City of Detroit unions. Should they ratify those agreements, and will it save an emergency manager from being appointed by the governor? Well, John has the his take on that, and we'll get it right from him. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Booyah! 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 That's right. BYOB, bring your own booyah!
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update, Tony, brought to you by McDonald's. An earlier accident has cleared to Quinder at 17 Mile Road, but we've got big delays coming in on 96 eastbound as you try to get from Wixom in toward 275.
Stop by McDonald's today to enjoy the new crispy, juicy goodness of the Poppable Chicken McBites, made with tender, all-white meat, marinated and coated with home-style seasoning to satisfy your appetite. They won't last long, so try our new Chicken McBites today. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We may see a little bit of sun today. Our high near 46. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 27. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 39. Right now, we have a little bit of fog and mist at Metro Airport and 27 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You're listening to Wind. Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says Indiana's so-called right-to-work law is a sad day for working Hoosiers and reflects an extreme partisan agenda. Trumka says study after study shows that this anti-union legislation reduces wages, benefits, and safety for all working people. He says it's a shame that flip-flopping politicians like Governor Mitch Daniels focus on divisive partisan agendas instead of on how to create good jobs. Teamsters president Jim Hoffa says that the anti-union law is an attack on millions of working men and women in Indiana. The labor leaders said working people will remember at election time who stood with working families and who stood with the one percenters. Indiana passed that law once before, back in 1957, Hoffa said, only to see it repealed in 1965 when the people elected pro-labor Democrats to the state legislature. In 1961, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. warned the country that right to work provides no rights and no work. Its purpose is to destroy labor unions and the freedom of collective bargaining. Daniels told the Teamsters in 2006 he had no intentions of supporting that so-called right-to-work legislation. One of the big questions for the Super Bowl is, will there be a demonstration supporting workers who are impacted by the right-to-work bill that was signed into law Wednesday by Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels? The NFL Players Association and a number of players who will be participating in the Super Bowl game have expressed opposition to the legislation. On Wednesday, shortly after Daniels signed the bill, workers marched from the State House to Super Bowl Village. Many of those marching had a hand in building the stadium, skills they say were developed as members of organized labor. The Center for Law and Social Policy says two highly controversial proposed changes to the unemployment insurance system would penalize the most vulnerable workers. Federal unemployment benefits expire February 28th unless Congress extends them. Republicans in the House want to force jobless workers to be drug tested and to have high school diplomas in order to get the benefits that they worked hard to earn. The Center for Law and Policy says these measures invade privacy and may be unconstitutional. Workers earn the right to unemployment benefits by having held a job, and the center says workers should not be held to different standards based on their levels of education. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, a one-hour radio documentary produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift. and Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, 35 minutes after the hour in what to me is very controversial. And although the news this morning, the newspapers this morning are saying that there are tentative agreement between the city of Detroit and their unions for more concessions. The controversy for me is stemming from the simple fact, ladies and gentlemen, that no matter what concessions the union supposedly will or won't take, will not change one damn thing. Joining me now is John Real. John is the president of Ask Me Local 207, who is asking his membership this morning to vote on that on these concessions, but to vote in a very specific way. John, I want to thank you. I know you don't have a lot of time, but I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Morning, Tony.
I'm sorry. I can't endorse these concessions, John. Where does Ask Me 207 stand on this?
Our local has informed our members who will vote on that. That's the public lighting section of our local. That we're opposed to this contract. The concessions are really harsh. It's like a 90% increase in your health insurance costs that the worker and his family has to pay. It's really a shame.
At a time, John, when you folks have repeatedly taken concessions, and some of your membership literally is and it may even be within striking distance of qualifying for food stamps. Can you really afford to take more concessions?
Our water department employees, and we think these city administration is going to come after them next. We have entry level people at $10.96 an hour. That's poverty level wages paid by the city of Detroit. So if these concessions come like that to those people, you know they're going to vote no, and that's why the members and everybody is so upset with the direction of the negotiations.
You know what? It seems to me, and again, for your membership, those with Ask Me Local 207 that may be listening to us this morning, you know, this isn't about sticking it to the man, or you know, this is about at some level it has to be about protecting what little I have left to make sure that the little bit that they haven't taken away from me, I can bring home to take care of my family, if I can even do that at this point.
You'd be surprised how many city workers have to have second jobs and make sure they're, can save every penny just to get through the week. And also we point out that 90% of our members are City Detroit residents. So all the harm being done to them by the city administration means that that's less money out in the community to help keep Detroit sustainable.
And John, do you believe that if the concessions are not voted in favor of, that this somehow threatens the emergency manager, or do you believe that I do, that the governor is going to appoint an emergency manager no matter what happens?
Well, yes, we believe the law was designed as an attack on Detroit. The law is designed to attack on the black communities in Michigan, and that's what the Republican Party in Michigan is about. And we believe that even if concessions are given, that it doesn't mean that it'll stop the problem. We saw the example of the DPOA, the police union here. They agreed to concessions in September, and the mayor came back in November demanding more concessions. So it's like a never-ending claim of problems on their side. But the workers are doing our side. We're doing the work. The work is being done well, under difficult conditions with old equipment. The city administration, lives high in the hog with high salaries. That's where the cuts need to be done, with them and the contractors. And the other side of it is they need to restructure their bond debt. The city of Detroit, the water department, and so many of these governments have such enormous bond debt. I think we need a financial haircut for them, just like we've been talking about for the debt holders in Greece and Europe.
Well, John, I'll make this real simple for those that are listening to us this morning. It seems to me that, there's a legacy problem, no question. But the legacy problem in the city of Detroit has absolutely nothing to do with our union membership. It has to do with the leadership, whether elected or appointed. And I just find it so offensive, John Real, that this administration or any administration expects the unions of the city of Detroit to pay the cost of their corruption. I just think it's wrong that they put the price tag on our unions. It's just, it's disrespectful and it's wrong.
I'll point out that I'm now a trustee on our retirement system, and all this claims about retirement system problems is phony. Our retirement system is better shaped than Wayne County or the state of Michigan or a lot of other institutions. We're 87% funded, and the problems we do have are directly related to the bad investments done under the Kwame Kilpatrick administration. Our local and the other city unions spoke up against them. The powers that be around the area were all buddy-buddy with Kwame, and now we suffer because of what the city administration and those particular individuals and politicians did. That's not right.
Well, you just proved my point. John, I know I got to let you go. Listen, we're here for you. You need to get back on the show. You let us know. But anything we can do to help support AFSCME and especially Local 207, you know we're here for you.
All right. Keep in mind this. Now, the people who approved the contract yesterday, that's only about a third of the city unions. That's a third or less of the city unions because big unions are not negotiations. Water's not in this particular negotiations. We'll negotiate separately and have to battle Judge Cox. And police and fire have not settled, so it's still early in the process.
Yeah, there's a long way to go. John Real again, president of AFSCME Local 207. Thank you once again, John. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Let me quickly, folks, go to Channel 7 did a report on the deal between the unions and the city of Detroit, and this is what they had to say.
Negotiations have been intense and lengthy, but a deal was finally struck right here at AFSCME headquarters at 10:30 last night.
Exact details won't be released until they can be reviewed by 3,000 AFSCME Council 25 members and 3,000 other city employees, who are now all being called a coalition of city unions. No specifics, but obviously wages and benefits are part of the proposal.
On the issue of wages, on the issue of health care, on the issue of pensions, the things that were laid out, it's significant, but we believe it's not permanent, but we believe it puts the city in a better position.
The tentative agreement covers clerical workers, mechanics, machinists, and some others, but it does not apply to police and fire and some other employees. And therefore, the tentative agreement with AFSCME will not be ratified unless there are assurances uniform employees share the sacrifice. Here at City Hall, there is still no time to lose. And so the mayor has been tied up with those unions. He still needs to get on board.
I think it's unfair that police and fire are getting this impression that they don't want to cooperate because they have given in terms of pension and health care. But now we need wage concessions from them. And this is a crisis we're in. And so we need them. And they're at the table. And I think that they're going to cooperate. They don't just want to give it up, because I think they want some assurances that there will be negotiations in good faith. But I applaud the mayor's office, and I applaud our union leadership for getting this far.
From downtown Detroit, Val Clark, 7 Action News.
Wow. Oh, man. I don't even know where to begin. That's just, that's got trouble written all over it, that entire report. These deals need to be ratified. I don't care what, one of the things you need to understand about the process is that once a deal has reached the table, it needs to be ratified by the membership. But there's no guarantee that these deals will be ratified. But what Charles Pugh just said with regard to the police and firemen, did you listen to what he said? Well, yeah, they gave health and benefit concessions. Now we need wage concessions. We're in a crisis here. So it's not enough that you've given, and then you've given more. We need you to give even more. Well, Tony, you're saying, hey, listen, if the money's not there, I don't care, union or no union, you can't continue to pay these guys money you don't have. Well, the truth is, they can't afford to pay anybody. At $10 an hour, they wouldn't be able to afford it. Do you hear what I just said? At $10 an hour. If they paid everybody in the city $10 an hour, they wouldn't be able to afford it. How is that the fault of the worker? So this is the problem when you think like a Republican. Reality suddenly goes out the window. Because you only look at the stark reality, the black and white. Well, it's always about profit. Because even a municipality is about profit and loss, right? Here's the problem. And I mean no disrespect to the other unions or the other workers within the city. And I mean no disrespect for them. You can't ask a cop to work for $14 an hour. You can't ask a fireman to show up and work for $12 an hour. It's wrong. We don't all know the truth. If anything John Real said that should really jump out at you is this, they're manufacturing some of the crisis. And it's easy to do that because you and I don't have access to the information. So we tend to believe when authority tells us something, we tend to believe it. The city of Detroit has, depending on who you listen to, anywhere between $11 and $16 billion of debt. Asking cops and firefighters and water workers and light workers to give up $2 or $3 an hour isn't going to solve that problem ever. We're going to keep paying attention, folks. This is not going to go away. Occupy Detroit, Occupy's First Shift on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford to the show. Will, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, how you doing, man? I just wanted to let everybody know about your Facebook page and how great it is. I mean, you keep me abreast on stuff on the weekends and everything, and it's just a valuable page. If people haven't put a like on it yet, they need to, because there's a lot of good information. Keep everybody abreast.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW. Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit!
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as an Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And it is time, of course, 7:50 every single day, Monday through Friday. And, you know, today, True 99%er joins us. Joining us now is Dave Kirby. Dave's got his own story. And, you know, a lot of people have a story. It's the heartbreaking ones that get to me. What's heartbreaking about Dave's story, and we'll get to that in just a second, is all of Dave is a hardworking guy that wants to take care of his family, like so many of the 99%. It's really not about anything more than just let me have what I work for. And Dave, let me welcome you to the show. I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks for the opportunity, Tony.
And is anything I said there not true? You just want to take care of yourself and your family, right?
Absolutely. You know, I wasn't asking for much. Even if the bank would have been willing to work with me and just knocked a few $1,000s off of the principal, I'd have still been paying too much for a home, but I really wanted to stay, and I probably would have done it. I asked for a loan modification, and at first it appeared the bank might work with me, even though I wasn't optimistic. And I was basically misled. I made some trial payments and jumped through some hoops, and then when I got the actual payments, that it was going to be the permanent payments, it was much higher than I was led to believe, and there was just no way I could make it.
Now, how did it happen? If you don't mind sharing that story, Dave, I know that can't be easy to do, but how did this all happen?
Well, basically, I was in my mid-20s, and I was fortunate enough to have a decent-paying union job. And then when the auto industry took a hit, I was intermittently laid off. I had put a lot into the home. I had doubled its value. And by the time the bubble burst, they basically a few weeks ago just sold my home for less than half of what I paid for it before I did my extensive renovations. Actually, I had gotten another job after that, and within I worked at a freight forwarding company the last 4 years or so, and within 3 weeks, I had lost both my home and my job. So,
wow, that's a tough thing to have to deal with. I want to make a point for those that didn't catch it. You basically took a home in a community, Lincoln Park, in fact, but you took a home that was that needed a lot of tender, loving care and gave it the tender, loving care it needed, really brought it up to code, made it something that anybody could be proud of, and they basically took it away from you.
Right. I mean, I followed the then conventional wisdom that to purchase a home and better yet to fix it up was your safest, surest investment, and I did that. I actually took out a home equity line of credit, and I didn't go buying stereos with it. I funneled it right back into the home. And like I said, I did double its value. I mean, I wasn't looking for a beautification award or anything. I just wanted a place to stay. And when I fell on hard times, I didn't expect the bank to work with me because I know how these institutions are. But, you know, basically we bailed them out, and now we're asking for some reasonable relief. And it appears that not even a bad reputation really affects them. I mean, everybody knows the banks are hated, and they're so arrogant, they don't appear to really care.
All right, so Dave Kirby, you have lost your home, correct?
Yes.
All right, and there's no way you can get it back?
No. Okay. No, it's over for me, but hopefully through the local Occupy Our Homes movement, maybe we can help some other people in the long term.
Yeah, and we are. We know that we are. All right, Dave, let's talk a little bit about Shareholder Spring, because yesterday was kind of a kickoff to what the banks can expect to happen now that the Occupy movement is up and running.
Right. Yeah, and I think the Occupy Our Homes movement can be a real viable way of holding banks accountable, which is all that we're asking for, and we can do that through direct actions like Bank of America yesterday, and working from the inside out through becoming shareholders and showing up at their meetings and voicing our concerns that way. So it's sort of, as I understand, I'm just kind of becoming familiar with the movement, but if I understand it correctly, it's sort of a two-pronged approach.
Yeah, it is a two-pronged approach, and it's going to be one of those things that is going to be impactful. You know, I think, David, and it's a shame that you've lost your home and you know, all that you put into it. I got to tell you, I think it's amazing that you've stepped up to tell your story, that you, you know, a lot of people would have kind of just gone and said, you know, buried their head in the sand, and you're not doing that. And I really need to honor the fact that you're willing to stand up and tell your story and to fight for yourself and others. I mean, more importantly, to do this to help others is really says a great deal about you.
Well, I appreciate that. And like I said, my story is sort of over in terms of whether or not to keep my home, but there are tens of thousands of stories that are far worse than mine. I mean, I know someone who's just battled breast cancer and she had to be off work for a while and the bank's trying to take her home. So for every just run-of-the-mill story like mine, there's thousands and thousands that are much, much worse.
You know, Dave Kirby, when you were working with Bank of America, you know, did they come to you and say, hey, it's, you know, we need to do something. You're in arrears. Let's see if we can modify. Or did you go to them?
I went to them. I went to them, and I was actually at first a bit surprised because it appeared to be promising, but that didn't last very long. In fact, at one point I had called to clarify the terms of the would-be new agreement, and within a matter of minutes, it wasn't like I was on the phone for 20 minutes, in a matter of minutes the bank employee said, look, if you don't think you're a candidate, don't waste the bank's time. I just was kind of stunned that, you know, usually, you know, when you're on the phone with a customer, you try to at least be cordial and polite, and I wasn't met with anything of the sort.
Did they put you through, did they put you through the modification process? Did they have you fill out paperwork, forms, all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I sent in my tax returns, pay stubs. In fact, I actually got a nice cheery package in the mail telling me that I had successfully completed the program. But when I looked at what the new payments would be, they weren't really offering me any relief at all, and I was told that the trial payments would be either exactly or very close to what my new permanent payments would be, and that was just completely untrue.
And a trial payment is what? I'm not familiar with that term, Dave.
Basically, one of the things that you do with the modification is they want to see if you could actually make a lower payment on time. This is part of the qualification process, and I did. I made those lower payments, and I made them on time. Again, being led to believe that that would be very similar to what my permanent payments would be, and when I got this package in the mail, it was significantly higher than the trial payment.
And so at what point, I mean, you know, okay, so you get this package in the mail, Dave, and it says, you know, hey, listen, instead of going to be, you know, $900 a month, it's actually going to be $1,600 a month, which, of course, you know, those aren't the real numbers. I'm just for
right.
points of illustrating this. So you get that. And, I mean, at that point, do you realize this is over? Do you tell them, listen, I just can't do this? What happened at that point?
Well, I was very, very angry. And I kind of realized what was happening. I think I may have made another phone call just to make sure that the numbers were right, and they told me that the numbers I was looking at were correct. And at that point, I kind of just knew. I just knew that there's no way I can do this with the, you know, again, being the intermittent layoffs. And I just was despondent, actually, because there just was nowhere for me to go at that point. In fact, if it weren't for the kindness of friends, I'm not sure where I would be now. I happen to have a friend that owned a home that he was willing to rent to me, you know, on some very, very reasonable terms. If not for that, I really don't know where I would be right now.
Well, our prayers are with you, Dave. Again, I want to thank you for stepping up and having the courage to help others. Thank you for telling your story. I just think it does a lot for this audience, and I appreciate the time you gave us today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Tony.
All
I appreciate
right.
it.
Dave Kirby, once again, Occupy Detroit. Let's take a quick break here. That's a tough story, man. That's a tough, tough story. Joe DeSano. In the next hour, it's going to go by fast, so strap in, folks. We got a lot to do. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update's not been too bad all over town because it's Friday. We usually have a little lighter than normal traffic, but still plenty of congestion in spots. Coming in 96 near Kensington, you've got a little bit of that, a little closer toward Wixom into 275. As you're coming down I-75 toward 12 Mile and the Reuther, but then northbound 75 also a little extra slow this morning because of our new construction taking out the two right lanes, northbound 75 at 12 Mile.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We may see a little bit of sun today. Our high near 46. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 27. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 39. Right now, we have a little bit of fog and mist at Metro Airport and 27 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble.
Top story this hour, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta indicates he thinks there's a pretty good chance Israel might attack Iran this spring to try to stop it from building a nuclear bomb. Former CIA officer Bob Baer, who now is with Time.com, thinks if this happens, Iran would try to attack the U.S.
You have a regime that is determined to fight back, and one way to do it is turn to sleeper cells in this country or hit the United States where it can, and that would include airliners anywhere. A regime like this on the defensive takes actions which I think are irrational.
Two American tourists have been kidnapped in the southern part of Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. The head of security in South Sinai says the abductions were carried out by unidentified Bedouins. The UN's trying to scramble to pass a peace resolution for Syria, with Russia threatening a veto. CNN's Arwa Damon reports drafters of the plan made revisions to eliminate the call for regime change in Syria.
This current resolution, as it stands, is utterly toothless and is highly unlikely to change the dynamics on the ground.
This hour, we get the government's latest monthly jobs report. CNN's Christine Romans reports many analysts think the numbers won't be as good as they were in December.
One of those reasons is because a lot of big companies are sitting on their cash. They still are not really hiring enthusiastically, and where you're seeing the hiring, it is in small and mid-sized firms.
Temperatures in Europe have hit new lows. It dipped to 36 below zero Fahrenheit in the Czech Republic. The week-long cold snap has killed more than 200 people in Europe. It's expected to continue into the weekend. Some locations are having the coldest weather in more than 80 years. And the Denver public school system has canceled classes today. The University of Denver also is closed. Up to 2 feet of snow is predicted to fall in the region by tomorrow. More than 180 flights have been canceled at Denver International Airport. Areas east of Denver out in the plains are under a blizzard warning today. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
My game plan for big game entertaining? Sam's Club.
Member Casey Harrison.
We save on all the snacks, all the drinks, even a sharp 60-inch LED TV. So on game day, the best seats in the house are going to be in my house.
Not a member? Start your new Sam's Club Plus membership now through February 5th and score extra points with the $20 gift card. Then make saving part of your game plan all year long.
Great prices, great selection, great party. In my book, that's a win-win-win.
Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Castrol Edge, the official motor oil sponsor of the NFL, knows you have the strength to perform. So when you buy a Castrol GTX conventional oil change special for $20.99 or a Castrol Edge oil change special at Advance Auto Parts, you'll get an official NFL hat for the team of your choice free by mail. At Advance, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle by bringing you exclusive deals that will flip your lid. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts. See store for details.
Wall Street traders are holding their breath while crossing their fingers as we wait for the release of the January jobs report in under an hour. Expectations are for as many as 150,000 new jobs to have been created, but that would be a slowdown from the 200,000 seen in December. The unemployment rate seems steady at 8.5%. Now, S&P futures are higher by about 2 points, NASDAQ gaining 8, Dow rising 21. Sony has talked about it, and so have Hitachi and Sharp. Now, Panasonic is warning losses from its TV business will mean losses for the year. And Panasonic is talking big losses. It looks to post a $10 billion beating as it faces fierce pricing competition for TV sales. And some Super Bowl parties will be flying high. A Harris Interactive survey finds hot wings now ranked second only to salsa and dips this year on the list of favorite Super Bowl snacks. The National Chicken Council says Americans will scarf down 1.25 billion wings while watching Sunday's game. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Thank you.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Castrol Edge, the official motor oil sponsor of the NFL, knows you have the strength to perform. So when you buy a Castrol GTX conventional oil change special for $20.99 or a Castrol Edge oil change special at Advance Auto Parts, you'll get an official NFL hat for the team of your choice free by mail. At Advance, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle by bringing you exclusive deals that will flip your lid. Service is our best part. See store for details. As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality, maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier. And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do. That it is because of you that progress is made. That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow. And now it's time to honor what you have done. And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer. You will now raise your voice. Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
And raise your coffee as well. It's still early. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, February 3, 2012. Super Bowl is on Sunday. We made our picks early on the show. Go to the podcast page, probably in the second segment. Go check it out. Get our guesses there. We're going to get Joe DeSano's pick in just a minute. Don't worry. We've got a lot to get to. Joe has a nice long agenda for me today. I like it when that happens, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. Before I do go to Joe DeSano, though, a couple quick things. Linda, I know you're listening this morning because you sent me an email. I'll respond to your email in full a little later on, but you know I treasure our friendship and this little relationship that we formed on the radio, and I appreciate everything you do, and so thank you so much for the email this morning and the emails yesterday as well. And Keith, I promise to also address what you sent me just a few minutes ago as well. I totally agree with you, by the way, Keith. And if I have time, not today, on Monday, maybe I'll drag this into Monday's show. All right, let's go ahead with our intro and let's get going.
With his razor-sharp precision, First Shift welcomes back Michigan's most informed political insider.
Let's go back in the good old Wayback Machine to the 2010 campaign and marvel at how adept the governor was at being elusive on issues. He was allowed to portray himself as a moderate, as a genial, nice guy, nerd.
Partner in Main Street Strategies, Mr. Joe DeSano.
And joining us now is Mr. Joe DeSano. Paisan, great to have you with us today.
My man, how you doing?
Good. You know, I had your partner on the show yesterday.
I heard. I actually heard, and I got a couple nice reviews of his appearance and performance yesterday. So it was a good day for everyone.
He did a great job. Todd Cook is who we're talking about. Of course, Todd has taken on the role of the state director of We Are the People. For those that weren't listening yesterday, I know you're very proud of Todd, and I know that he's doing an amazing job for We Are the People.
Well, he's the gold standard when it comes to making the trains run on time.
Like the way you put that. Absolutely like the way you put that. Good to have you with us. You know, we always build this as you never know what Joe's going to say. And I don't know why we do that. I guess over the time we've spent together, which goes back to May of last year, you know, you've upset a few people over the course of our time together. Not deliberately. It's not like you come on the show just to do that. It just happens that you rub some people, I don't know, the wrong way. Honesty has a way of doing that sometimes to people, and I get that. But that's the way we bill you. But, you know, I got to say, there's one thing, Joe, I never have to wonder about you, and I mean this sincerely. I never have to wonder where you stand, but I also never need to wonder where your ethics are. You're a very ethical guy. You say it as it is. You're not afraid to say it as it is, and you're willing to back up and stand there and take the heat With that said, I don't know that those same traits carry over to the political arena. And the Democrats yesterday, Joe, put together, I believe it's 16, a package of 16 bills that will take a look at ethics in politics here in the state of Michigan. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, as you said, the House Democrats have put together a package of ethics bills that would end pay-to-play politics here in Michigan. It would ban a loophole that would allow foreign companies to wildly give money in state politics. And this is actually a very exciting bill because I think it sets up a great contrast between Democrats and Republicans. And so what we're going to do is try to get this bill passed and force Republicans to vote on it. I think it's going to require an engagement of the public to call their legislators and demand that we return public integrity to the state of Michigan. In fact, the Center for Public Integrity has rated Michigan's transparency laws at the bottom of the country. Basically, you can take money from anyone, and you really don't have to explain yourself or make it public in many cases. And that's just plain wrong. So I think what we got to do is put pressure on these guys. And let's be honest, I really don't think the bills are going to become law, but it will make Republicans uncomfortable. And that's a good second goal.
All right, and I'm going to agree with you, but let's talk about what I think is a kind of a critical component to this. I think we need these bills to turn into laws, and I agree with you. As I posted to the Facebook page yesterday when this story broke in the morning, that now watch the Republicans run as fast as they can from this, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to run from this. But you know, Joe, when we take a step back, let's just take, you know, let's a big picture for a moment. You know, don't these bills actually make sense at a very honest level? I mean, isn't this the kind of stuff we really should be doing here in the state of Michigan?
Oh, I absolutely think so. And I think it goes to the difference between Democrats and Republicans. I mean, we are working to expand transparency. You've got a governor who promised to be the most transparent governor in the history of the state, who just got dinged by the Court of Appeals yesterday for running the Detroit city manager, the emergency financial manager process in secret. The courts demanded that he not hold the meetings in secret anymore. So I think, you know, that's just a logical, these bills are just a logical extension of that, and extending into the campaign finance process.
Well, no question. I'm anxious to see, if it even gets, a committee hearing. How do the Republican? Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say I disagree with your opinion of the Republicans running away. What they're going to do is cozy up to it, and the rhetoric will be, "Yeah, this is a good start," but then they're going to drop it when no one's looking, or it's just going to die of lack of momentum.
All right, so let's talk about what that looks like. Will they get a committee hearing? Will it just be a public dialogue? Hey, you know, yeah, good that our colleagues on the minority party, you know, brought this to the table. Certainly something we'll seriously take a look at. Is that all it'll be, or will it get some committee dialogue?
Yeah, I doubt it even gets to the committee process. It'll be more like a public pat on the head. But one part of this that I think absolutely should make people of all political stripes excited is the fact that this would ban lawmakers from becoming lobbyists upon their exit from the legislature. I know for certain votes have been cast based on future employment.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes. That's absolutely happened. Well,
especially in the term-limited situation we are now, where, you know, after 6 years in the House and 8 years in the Senate, you're out on the street again, back as a so-called normal person, and that terrifies a lot of lawmakers. And a little quid pro quo is out there. It's never explicit, so it can't be ever prosecuted upon. But you know, I know lawmakers that have pulled the lever for bills based on future employment. There is no doubt in my mind.
Well, you know, again, that's problematic at a lot of levels. Anybody that's listening, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, that should concern you. Again, I just think this is a, an amazingly bipartisan issue. But unfortunately, because there's money, and again, it's always about following the money, Joe DeSano, because there's money attached to this, because there is. Again, not direct money, but money nonetheless. That's gonna change it. And listen, you know, I had this conversation with somebody a couple weeks ago. I'm no proponent of term limits. I think it's done a huge disservice to the state of Michigan, which is, I think, why we're in the situation that we're currently in. With what happened in 2010 happens if you don't have term limits, but we do. We've got to deal with that. I always find it interesting, Joe, when they poll on term limits, that the people of the state of Michigan seem to like it, and I don't get why.
Because it's an easy way to take a shot at the political class and the ruling people, or the ruling class here in the state, without actually being fully engaged.
Huh. Well, that says something about the stupidity of the electorate, doesn't it?
And I think they assume that everyone is corrupt up there, regardless of party or partisanship, and they think that changing it's a cheap way to think you're engaged.
If I were to ask you this question, you've been around politics a long time now, Joe DeSano. If I were to ask you this question, and just two things, what are the two major things that term limits have harmed? What would the answer to that be?
I think it has destroyed institutional memory and trust.
Which is huge, by the way.
And number two, I think it has placed far too much power in the hands of staff and lobbyists. I mean, we had one of the lawmakers from the city of Warren refer to lobbyists as educators earlier this year.
Yeah, we talked about that. Absolutely. You and I talked about that.
Yeah, that is an absolutely asinine statement that I'm hoping is hung around her neck in the next election. And that's a Democrat, okay? That's a Democrat, but that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a lawmaker say, that these folks are educators. No, educators don't have an opinion. They don't have educators give you facts. These people give you slanted bullet points based on who's paying them.
Absolutely.
Okay?
We got to take a break, Joe. Hold that thought. We got to take a break. We got to get to the break. It just happens. We got to go. Joe DeSano, my guest, we've got that and a whole lot more to get to on the other side. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. The email address is always tony@thetonyshow.org and on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. First Shift takes a break. We'll punch back in after we do this.
With Tony Trupiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, we're doing pretty well right now on the Southfield Freeway. Not seeing any exceptional delays. Nothing you need to add a lot of extra time to your morning commute for. Friday mornings are always a little bit better out there. As you're coming in along 96, that's a little busy near 275. 275, the interchange with 96 and M14. We're doing okay through there. 75 through 696, the southbound side, kind of the normal stuff. The northbound side, we're seeing extra delays because of our new construction at 12 Mile, taking out the two right lanes.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, we are going to see a mix of sun and clouds today and some fog still this morning with a high near 46. Tonight partly cloudy and a low near 27. Tomorrow mostly sunny skies, our high 39. Right now we do have a little bit of that fog at the airport and 27 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Charlie LaDuff joins us now from Fox 2 News.
You should be angry because, look, criminality or not, you know, I'm a Kilpatrick. He's not being convicted of anything in federal court, right? But you, at the very minimum, our leadership's been asleep at the wheel for decades. And we went along with it, and all of a sudden, the magic carpet ride stopped. We're broke, we got nothing left, and the leadership never changed. You know, you start to see the nice little deals they're making with the money, why we're running a deficit. There's plenty of money still flowing through here, and they don't understand the times that when the people have nothing, stop the merry-go-round, do it right, and let's get this thing fixed. It's time for normalcy. You know, no BSing like you're part of the people. You are part of the people. What about chauffeurs with his pension and his salary and his car and his gas is making $200,000.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. Joe is with us, by the way, every Friday at this time. Although I learned yesterday he mentioned it, he's going to be taking a trip to Italy the end of March into April. And can't wait to see the pictures from his trip, but I'm sure it's going to be great. And you're bringing the whole family on that, are you not, Joe?
Yeah, my wife, son, and both my parents.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that as it gets closer. Listen, there's just so much to get to today. There's going to be a conference call at 10 o'clock this morning. The chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer, is going to be making an observation on what we've now found out is a big ad buy by Pete Hoekstra. Tell us a little bit about that, Joe.
Yeah, Pete Hoekstra taking a page out of the Rick Snyder playbook, is purchasing a ad across the state on Super Bowl Sunday during the game. He's mimicking what Snyder did 2 years ago during the Super Bowl and hoping this, propels him into, a solid lead in the Republican primary for U.S. Senator. And, The problem here is this is, remember we were talking about ethics in the last segment?
Yeah.
Campaigns and the people who run them have an obligation to do what's right for the candidate. And this is the dumbest move I've ever seen in politics. It is asinine. It's a pathetic waste of money. And this is really just consultants giving campaigns advice in order to pad their own pocket. And that's what this is, plain and simple. But I think what Mark Brewer is going to get to is some of the huge ethical concerns that actually are at play here. Hoekstra has maintained his employment by a Washington, D.C. lobby firm during this campaign. I mean,
yeah.
That's an absolute fact that needs to be exposed and told to the world. He's also in a very precarious place politically. I think he's starting to feel heat from some of the other folks in this race. I think some of the polling we talked about previously on the show is not exactly giving him and maybe many of the Republicans in Washington, D.C., the confidence in him and his ability to win and beat Debbie Stabenow. Now, we should be cheering him on as Democrats that he's spending this $200,000 on Super Bowl Sunday, because we're looking at a situation where he's going to, you know, if he comes out of this primary in August, he's going to be down to zero. Debbie Stabenow is going to be sitting on $7 to $10 million, and she's just going to pummel him. So on one hand, we should be happy that this is going on. And on the other hand, I think we really got to publicize the ethical conflicts here that I think are really, really at play.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, the gamble. Of course, the gamble is, you know, you're going to spend $200,000. I'm assuming it's going to be a 60-second spot, but it doesn't really matter, 60 or 30, doesn't matter. You know, here's my point is, you know, he has a primary. So is this ad going to focus on, hey, I'm Pete Hoekstra, this is who I am, or, hey, I'm Pete Hoekstra, and this is who Debbie's not? Is it going to be about Debbie? Is it going to be about him?
What, I think it's going to be about him. I think the theme is going to be that he's a penny pincher. It's the ad is being run or created by the same guy who did the nerd ads for the governor. And ironically enough, this ad is going to promote him as a budget cutter and a penny pincher, but anyone who pinches pennies is not going to blow $200,000 on a gamble.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic in and of itself, Joe. And so, you know, and it's one of those things, you know, hey, listen, I get up to go to the bathroom. I may even miss this ad. And where's he buy? Is he buying the ad? Is it in the Detroit market? Do you know?
Yeah, it'll be in the Detroit market. And I think there's a week of cable afterwards. And this is the important distinction between, you know, from a political strategy point of view, the distinction between the situation that Snyder was in and the situation that Hoekstra's in. Snyder was writing his own check. He could go as long and deep into his pocket as he had to. Snyder stayed up for a month after the Super Bowl ad, okay? That's not something that Hoekstra's going to be able to do and at this point is going to do. I think that Hoekstra should be well known. This isn't a situation with Snyder where he's like had the benefit of being completely brand new. So the ad had a kind of buzz about it, like, who's this guy? But Pete Hoekstra is really known very well by many voters, you know. So this is just a faulty campaign strategy, you know, and as I said before, a way for a consultant and an ad maker to put money in their pocket, because I don't think this will have any benefit to Pete Hoekstra. And from that, we should cheer him on, because I really don't want to see him have any benefits.
You know, this is something, of course, you have intimate knowledge of. As a Main Street Strategies, if Pete Hoekstra were your client, this is something that you would advise a client on.
This is something I would advise a client not to do.
But that's my point. And that's my point. And you know, there's a time and a place. I think you've made a nice distinction between the governor's strategy, even philosophy in doing it, which at some level made sense. He was no one knew him. And so, you know, you're right. He was able to sustain that for a 30-day period of time. Interestingly, I just happened to be looking for an email the other day, 2 days ago. And so I did a little search on my computer, and it just so happened when I found it, attached to this email was an article about why Mike Cox was going to win the gubernatorial primaries and be the next governor of the state of Michigan. And when I read this article, it was a Mirrors article. When I read the article, they didn't even mention Rick Snyder's name in the article.
Right.
Not even mentioned in the article.
I remember this article. There was also a series of articles that said that Andy Dillon was going to be the Democratic nominee, and that it was a foregone conclusion, so Democrats should just hold their noses and deal with it. And the fact of the matter is, so many of the people in the Lansing bubble are myopic and don't really know what's going on, and they only talk to themselves. They don't talk to real people out in the trenches, and they become, you know, numb to what's going on, so then they only repeat the conventional wisdom to each other, and eventually it makes it into print, and, you know, many of these folks don't know what they're talking about.
Well, no question, that is true, and that has been proved by the fact that we have Governor Rick Snyder, not candidate, Governor. Well, it'll be interesting to see see this commercial, and I have a feeling that we'll be talking about it on Monday. All right, a quick break here. When we come back from the break, amongst the things we have to get to yet is why the Secretary of State has some splaining to do and why she had to write a check for over $1,300, why the Democrats were not invited to the State of the County address in Oakland County, although we've touched on it. We've got more to say on that. And how did fundraising go, and what does it say about some of these congressional races? That and more as we continue with Joe DeSano from Main Street Strategies here on First Shift. Everybody stay right where they're at. We'll take a quick break. I'm going to go fill my coffee up, and we'll keep going here on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update is catching some folks by surprise a little bit. 75 northbound, despite the lot of reports about the new construction, 75 north at 12 mile. Those two right lanes are out. You have to stay to the left. And right now we're backed up from before 696 because of that. Look for it to be a little worse on Monday morning when a lot of our drivers get back to work.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, we are going to see a mix of sun and clouds today and some fog still this morning with a high near 46. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low near 27. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, our high 39. Right now, we do have a little bit of that fog at the airport and 27 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Here's a case of good news oozing out of bad news, and vice versa. The bad news is that Hostess Brands has sunk into bankruptcy. It couldn't stay afloat with the $860 million debt piled onto it when a group of Wall Street speculators took over the 82-year-old company. The good news, though, is that devoted customers can still get their daily fix of five kinds of sugar, partially hydrogenated oil, polysorbate 60, artificial flavors, and yellow dye number 5. Those are a few of the ingredients in Hostess Twinkies. When top executives filed for Chapter 11 in January, they assured an anxious nation that the corporation would keep chugging out Twinkies, Ho-Hos, Ding-Dongs, and its other caloric delights while they deal with a few legal details to restructure Hostess. Oh, goody! But wait, those details constitute the bad news flowing out of the good news. The CEO says that to become, quote, a highly competitive company that provides secure employment for our employees, Hostess must make those employees less secure by busting their pensions, cutting their medical benefits, and abrogating their labor contracts. Does this Twinkie in chief even understand how twisted his logic is? Apparently not, for he also asserts that one of the, quote, tremendous inherent strengths that Hostess can build on to become a viable company is a talented and experienced workforce. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks for the compliment, Chief, but I'm guessing your workforce would prefer a decent pension. Without that, your words are as empty as the calories in a ding-dong. Meanwhile, the union workers who literally deliver the goods for the company point out that they've already made concessions. And it's time for the richly paid corporate executives and profiteering speculators who loaded Hostess with all that debt to stop sucking all the cream out of the Twinkies.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift,
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to
to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back. Because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness, but essentially to just set the record straight. It's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are of the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, the conclusion itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Shift with Tony Trigg on 1310 WDTW.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
8:35, Tony Trupiano with you. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest, as he is every Friday at this time. So we're happy to have him. Joe, before we get back to the business of politics, Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. You got a favorite in this one?
I don't have a favorite. I have a pick. I don't particularly care for either of these franchises. But I am going to put my money, and yes, I'm admitting I'm betting on this. I'm going to put my money on the table with the Mad Bomber, the madman of football, Mr. Bill Belichick, and I'm going to put my money on the Patriots by 3.
Well, that makes four of us on this show, Jeff, Anthony, me, and you. So, I think it's going to go in that direction. I'll ask you the other question that we've been asking this morning. Is there a favorite Super Bowl snack that you absolutely have to have on the table on Sunday?
No. I know that's the boring answer, but that's the truth. Right. As I get older, I pay more attention to what chow I put in my mouth. So I'm actually going to be staying home so I can minimize the temptations.
Good enough. Good enough. All right. Let's, again, because we have so much that we need to get to yet. Next Wednesday is the Oakland County State of the County Address, where Brooks Patterson will be delivering his address. Now, in the audience, there's not going to be a full complement of commissioners. Is there a particular reason for that, Joe?
Yeah, the bloated drunk in charge of Oakland County politics and the government of Oakland County, Al Brooks Patterson, has not invited the Democratic commissioners because the Democrats are engaged in a lawsuit with the county regarding the recent bill that was signed into law by the governor that radically redrew the lines for county commissioners as to benefit the Republicans and kind of a sour grapes mood. So so the Democrats sued, and like the petulant blubbery baby Al Brooks Patterson is, he has decided to bar the Democrats from attending the State of the County Address next week.
But why? I mean, don't they have a right to be there, Joe?
Well, I think they have a right to be there, and I think eventually they're going to show up. This is just basically Al Brooks Patterson addicted to publicity, much like whiskey. And so he's trying to score some free points and show what a tough guy he is. And here's the problem. Democrats are going to show up. They're going to seat him, and then, you know, this is going to be the end of the story. But, you know, he gets a couple of days of play of what a tough guy he is in the – in the media. He claims that he's being sued personally. That's not true. They're suing the county, and he's not held liable personally by any of this, so his premise is flawed to begin with. He's drunk with power, among other things, and it's really a shameful act. And people need to remember where Al Brooks Patterson came from. He was one of the group of folks in the 70s who was scoring all kinds of points during the busing debate of the early 70s, and that's where he made his bones in politics, and really he's no different now.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate. I will say that on Wednesday is the day of the State of the County Address, so we're going to have the Democratic challenger at Al Brooks Patterson, Kevin Hawley, on this show. Jeff, I hadn't let you know that yet, but I will. He'll be on the show delivering his state of the county address on this very program. So The Democrats will have a voice. It just happens to be on radio, and so be it. You know, speaking of Republicans that are a little out of control and maybe have some explaining to do, Secretary of State Ruth Johnson recently paid a fine of $1,325. What for, Joe?
Well, for not filing your reports on time.
Joe.
Let's dwell on the ironies of this. But here's the real story. Republicans never want the rules to apply to them. That's their MO. Their MO is not let the rules apply to them, to accumulate power and to use that power to their benefit. She didn't file her reports on time. Eventually, the civil servants in the elections division flagged it, and she had to pay that $1,300. It's dreadfully embarrassing that the chief elections officer, the person who is keeping the score on campaign finance expenditures and reporting here in the state, can't even pay on time. I think it shows what a sham the system is, and she should be ashamed of herself.
I agree. You know, it's funny because her spokesperson asked like it's some badge of courage that, hey, they just treated her like every other candidate, and that's not even the point, Joe.
No, the point is that she has to be held to a higher standard because she's not like everyone else. She is the enforcer.
Yeah, that's a good story.
You know, the fact of the matter is, this is just another Republican hoping that the rules don't apply to them, and they do apply, and they should apply, and I think she should draw scrutiny from editorial pages of the newspapers across the state for this, but they won't. They won't. They'll let it slide. It's a mistake. It's a paperwork error. Nothing to be seen here. So there you have it. It's a shameful episode that will not get the publicity it deserves.
By the way, Ruth Johnson is a former Oakland County clerk who still has some explaining to do from her time as the Oakland County clerk, and we'll have to come back to that some other time. I do want to get to the phone, though, because it seems that you have picked someone's interest with your characterization of the county executive, L. Brooks Patterson. Joe, let's welcome Jeff in Utica to First Shift. Jeff, you're on the air with Joe DeSano.
Good morning, Joe. Yeah, I've called. I it seems like Joe, you pique my interest every time. Last Sunday I saw L. Brooks Patterson on Flashpoint, and Nancy Skinner was also on there, arguing back and forth. And when Nancy Skinner would try to make a point, a simple general point, like you know, this is even getting him to admit the Republicans had brought us into this mess, even getting him to admit that, you know, the things that President Obama are doing are working. He wouldn't do that. He would not let that, he would not comment on the actual point brought to him, you know, even presented with the facts. I mean, that guy's ego is as big as the county. And, you know, says, I'm just sick of him. I mean, this is a guy whose time has passed. And sorry for just calling you to vent my anger, but that really, you know, I'm sitting there in the nursing home with my mom in Oakland County watching this guy go on and on and not even defending, you know, his points or anything like that. Says all he did just try to reframe the question your comments.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to. Jeff's absolutely correct in his assessment. This guy is a blowhard and a bully who you can't pin down on the issues because he doesn't want to talk about them, and he's extremely, extremely partisan in a manner that I think really is to the detriment of the county. But Jeff's point that Al Brooks' time has come and gone, I think that's absolutely the case.
Well, you know, this Kevin Hawley, I don't know how much you know about Kevin, the guy that's running against him on the Democratic ticket this year, is a sharp guy. He's a guy that I think can raise the kind of money that needs to be raised. You know, I think he can, you know, with the right team of people, can really make a dent here.
Well, I hope so. I've seen some of the press clippings, and I find it encouraging. But, you know, the devil's in the details, and you remember that old saying about money talks.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, Joe, before we let you go today, certainly all of the campaign finance reports are out. Let's more specifically look at a couple of the statewide races and certainly some of the congressional races. What do the campaign finance reports tell you that that necessarily got your interest?
Well, the big one is the big number, and folks will remember that the governor paid for his campaign out of his own pocket, spent upwards of $6 million financing that campaign. Just so you know, the governor has repaid himself with lobbyist cash, $825,000 here in the past year. So he's making good on paying off that debt to himself. And now I should say this. It's nothing illegal what he's doing, but I think it goes back to the ethics package that we talked about in the previous segment, that we need to crack down on how these folks loan money to their campaigns and how they pay themselves back.
Joe, do you think it's significant that he hasn't had a fundraiser in the last 9 months and yet somehow he had $825,000 to repay himself with?
Oh, I think the fact that he hasn't had a fundraiser, I think, is not important. The fact that he's taking the campaign cash in is what's really important.
Thank you.
And that's why we have to crack down on the fact that these people can just turn this into a money mill and get money back, put it in their own pocket. And now I'm not saying they shouldn't be able to loan money to their campaigns, but they should have some restrictions on how and when they can pay themselves back. So I thought that was the big story that, again, will not be talked about because there's nothing illegal about it. But I think the fact of the matter is we've got to crack down on this stuff. There's a certain amount of just shamelessness that just that's wrapped up in how this goes around.
Absolutely. Joe, we're out of time, buddy. We're just out of time.
Okay.
You want to hang? I'll keep you after the break.
No, that's cool. You guys do your thing.
No, we're all right. Stay where you're at. We'll come back a couple minutes on the other side. Joe DeSano's going to stay with us. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is attorney and medical marijuana patient himself, Matt Abel.
The people are way ahead of the government and our elected officials in this. Even people who are not interested in marijuana, who don't use it, never have, and don't plan to at all, they believe that prohibition of marijuana should end, that it's counterproductive. It's not the way we want to spend, an ineffective way to control drug usage if that's what you're trying to do. That it just sends it into the black market, it makes the cartels wealthy, and sends our money out of Michigan.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, Diggity Doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, Joe DeSano with us. I'm going to get to the phone in just a minute, so Daryl, stay where you're at. Let's wrap things up with Joe. I didn't want to... I hate unfinished business. Joe, you had a couple more comments you wanted to make about campaign finance reports that were out this week.
Well, I wanted to say that there was actually a real winner on the Democratic side of things, a surprise winner of what Democrat raised the most money, and I think that goes to Jim Townsend from Royal Oak. He had set the pace, really, for all the rest of the Democratic legislators as far as raising money. He's done it as a freshman in the minority, and he's got $77,000 in the bank at the end of 2011. So he raised almost $100,000 last year. And I think this is a precursor to great things ahead for Jim Townsend, and hopefully he puts that race out of play for Democrats and puts himself in play for a significant leadership post in the next Democratic legislature. So I think we've ID'd a potential superstar in the making.
Well, that's great. Let me quickly ask you, Glenn Anderson did awfully well, better than I thought he would have done. And he certainly got on my radar screen by how well he did. And on the other side of that, Bert Johnson did proportionally quite bad. And I was a little surprised by his fundraising numbers.
I was sadly disappointed by that because I'm a friend of Bert's and I'm a supporter and I'm urging him on. Not that I don't support Glenn. You know, he's a total class act, there's no question. But I was surprised at the lack of fundraising activity on his part, and I was also surprised at the lack of fundraising on the part of Chanel Jackson, the term limited state rep from Detroit, who's also thrown her hat in the ring. You're looking at a situation where if this is a binary choice between Glenn Anderson and John Conyers, I think that's to Glenn Anderson's detriment. He needs to have several strong African-American candidates in this race if he's going to leverage the suburban part of the district for votes. And, you know, maybe he should be giving his colleague in the state Senate, Mr. Bert Johnson, some fundraising assistance to make sure that Bert is competitive.
Yeah, well, that's all interesting. Joe, thanks for your time. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again next Friday.
Outstanding, my friend. Thank you.
Appreciate it as always. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies. Let me go directly to Daryl in Farmington Hills. Daryl, thank you for your patience. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. One of the things I was thinking about when you two were discussing Hoekstra's the big Ed buy and potential misuse of his campaign funds, and draining them during the primary, is that perhaps he is thinking that he will get some of the Koch brothers money to actually run a general campaign against Senator Stabenow, and so that he doesn't. All he has to do is get through the noise of a primary, and he will be able to get tapped into that unlimited funding that I think the Republicans are going to throw against the reelection of Senator Stabenow.
Yeah, but there's got to be, you know, Daryl, there's got to be some kind of guarantee there, and I don't know that there is. I think that there's still enough dissension, and during this primary. that there are people still not picking Pete Hoekstra to win this thing, and we know that's the kind of the old establishment versus the new establishment, the way they set this up going into this primary race. And so I don't know that the guaranteed money is necessarily there for Pete Hoekstra. And again, I'm not an insider, so I'm just basing this this guess on what I saw at the very beginning. Again, this was old versus new. Certainly, Pete Hoekstra can tap into some money, but whether it's enough to beat Debbie is a big question, Darryl.
Well, with Citizens United stuff, I don't know that they even have to give it directly to him. They run the same kind of drowning in negative ads that Romney was able to pull off in Florida. I think that might be what the calculation might be, that all we got to do is get through the primary. So they're spending the money to get through the primary. Because the Alec and the rest of the folks have decided to target the Democratic seat in Michigan.
Yeah. Well, again, Darryl, I appreciate the call. I think it's an astute observation, and we will, of course, keep our eyes wide open moving forward, because anything can happen in politics these days. And you're smart to point out Citizens United, because that will impact us here in the state of Michigan. It just hasn't yet, but it will. All right, very quickly before we get out of here today, a couple things that I want to get to at the bottom of the hour. I just didn't have time to get to it. I saw it crawling across the screen, and then Jeff reminded me that the job numbers are out. 240,000 new jobs created last month. The unemployment going from 8.5 to 8.3%, far surpassing all predictions, especially the number of jobs created. Absolutely blowing any prediction to smithereens. And so what does this tell us? It tells us that the Republicans are going to get real nervous. This economy is now moving along faster than even I thought it would. If you were to go back a month and listen to a podcast from a month ago, you would hear me say that the February jobs report would be up. And I'm wrong. And I mean that. And I don't make an apology. I was just wrong. I was dead wrong. The unemployment is down. I thought it would be up after the seasonal hiring corrected itself. I really thought, $240,000 new jobs in the last month is a phenomenal number. It's a phenomenal number, something to be very positive of. And let's thank the president for his continued leadership on the economy. And again, Republicans are going to get real. It's really hard to complain about an economy as a Republican when we're creating dynamic jobs. Kind of hard, right? Then Jeff just tells me that, what are you doing following Rick Snyder's Twitter feed, by the way, Jeff?
It was retweeted by Chuck Todd, so nationally, people are paying attention.
So he was asked, my understanding is Governor Snyder was asked if he would consider running for VP, and he said he doesn't even think about that. My focus is on Michigan. Isn't that what they all say?
But the thing that people are kind of making fun of on Twitter is no one knows who asked him. Like he just wrote, "I was asked." And
fair enough. Now nobody knows who asked him, but he offered it up anyway. That's funny. That's actually funny. I got a kick out of that. I'm stunned.
Well, and Chuck Todd said he can't even believe he would tweet something like that.
Okay, you're right. I mean, especially without reference. I mean, that's kind of a little self-serving, don't you think? Just a little bit. All right, that does it for us for today. I want to thank all of you for another great week of radio. Monday's show is going to be phenomenal, I promise. State Representative Harvey Santana is with us. Mark Brewer, Occupy Detroit. We've got some great stuff coming up next week. Joel Ferguson, the chairman of the board of Michigan State, chairman of the trustees of Michigan State University. We'll be doing our own State of the County address for Oakland County with the Oakland County Democratic challenger, Kevin Holley. We got a lot of great stuff to get to next week. Anthony and Jeff, thank you. Enjoy the Super Bowl. You're an awesome, awesome, awesome audience. Tony at thetonyshow.org off the air. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, our morning rush hour is coming toward the end, at least of the busiest times, and it's been pretty busy, I-75 northbound. We've been slow back from before 696 because of our new construction at 12 Mile, taking out the two right lanes. So you're shifted to those two left lanes, and everybody's got to squeeze through there. Looks like starting next week or so, they're also going to be working on the southbound side of 75 near 12.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, we are going to see a mix of sun and clouds today and some fog still this morning with a high near 46. Tonight partly cloudy and a low near 27. Tomorrow mostly sunny skies, our high 39. Right now we do have a little bit of that fog at the airport and 27 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
1310 WDTW.
Identify. Identify.